Indeed. Thank you so much for talking to us, Steve Rotherham. I'm so pleased that you and your family are safe. He's the Metropolitan Mayor for the Liverpool City region. Again, that phone call, we all know as a parent, you get that phone call, nothing, you know, don't worry. But that phone call is the one it's not the worst one we could get, but we all know how we feel when we get that. Thank you to him. Thank you to all of my contributors today, the experts, the security people, the people who just helped out and did the right thing. Thank you to everybody who spoke to us, those on the scene as well. I really appreciate you taking the time. But, you know, we are told we're supposed to carry on as normal, but how normal is situation where we sit in a country where we just wait for the next terror attack? That's what I want to know. I want the politicians back on the air. I want them talking about what they are going to do about this. This is not knee-jerk stuff. This is, we need to know how we deal with the terror threat in this country is a political issue, and we need to know what our politicians are going to do about it. I'm almost done for another day. Joining me in the studio now is Mr. John Holmes, he's going to take us through 1 o'clock till four. What are you going to be covering on?
Well, picking up the baton, really. We're obviously dropping the normal programme because this is an ongoing story. The details are still emerging, of course, this afternoon. So much as we did with the Westminster terror attack, we're going to be taking some looks at some different angles of it. We have a band coming to the studio, rock band Twin Atlantic, who are going to join us to talk about it from a sort of musician's point of view, and the fact that, because I think that's interesting as well, because, you know, Ariana Grande, of course, tweeted straight away afterwards, and a lot of musicians are sort of... But, you know, they're not in charge of the security at these venues, but yet it's their gig, yeah, and their name's above the door.
But imagine, I mean, obviously I've seen Ariana Grande live. I mean, imagine what it must be like a concert that you'd put on for children to be killed at a concert you put on. And she said she's now called off her world tour.
And how the hell do you deal with it, you know? So I think it's interesting to talk to some musicians about from their point of view as well. So a few different angles.
Absolutely. John Holmes there, thank you very much. And of course, just about breaking news in the last few minutes, the Islamic State has claimed responsibility for that terror attack at the Manchester Arena last night. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Hopefully we'll get more answers, more information throughout the day and tomorrow. But do stay tuned. And you know what? Keep safe. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Join the conversation party.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
With BMW navigation and real-time traffic information as standard, the BMW 1 Series helps to keep you clear of the congestion and connected to the open road. And now the 5-door BMW 118i M Sport is available with monthly rentals from just £239. Visit your local BMW centre. The BMW 1 Series. Pure BMW. £4,329 initial rental, 36-month hire agreement, subject to status and availability for new vehicles ordered by 30th of June and registered by 30th of September. UK-only guarantees may be required. Excess mileage and other conditions apply when you return the vehicle. BMW Finance.
TradePoint, we offer bulk delivery from stock, from store to site. And if you order before 4 p.m, you'll get your order the next day. Plus, spend over £200 ex-VAT and your delivery will be free. TradePoint. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only. TradePoint!
As a business looking to hire, where do you look for greatness? Just because you've no time, should you have to settle for the best of a limited choice? With more candidates looking for their next job than any other job site, Indeed.com is where your search for greatness begins and ends. Post your job on the UK's number one job site and start your search for greatness today on Indeed.com. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
Mummy and Daddy got 2 free tickets to Legoland with the sun. When they collected 10 tokens inside the paper,
saving us up to £120.
Can I drive home, Dad?
That's 2 free tickets to the Legoland Windsor Resort when you collect 10 tokens inside the sun. Continues this week.
Hi, my suitcase hasn't arrived. I've been waiting ages.
Let's check the system. Was a direct flight?
Connecting. I stopped in Bangkok.
And before that?
Well, the Maldives,
yes.
And Dubai, Barbados, Koh Samui. Oh, and that amazing volcano in Bali.
Nicer problems to have. This Tuesday, there's a £99 million EuroMillions jackpot. And you can also win the best of Japan. And £1 million cash. Get your tickets for Tuesday's event. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
It's 1 o'clock. It's Tuesday afternoon. It is Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes. Victoria's got the news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, IS claims responsibility for Manchester attack, man arrested, and tributes to victims.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May has called last night's suicide bombing in Manchester one of the worst terrorist attacks the UK has ever faced. The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility. Children are among the 22 people killed and dozens of others injured in the blast at an Ariana Grande pop concert. A 23-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the attack. The Prime Minister has praised the response of those who were called in to help.
For as so often while we experienced the worst of humanity in Manchester last night, we also saw the best. The cowardice of the attacker met the bravery of the emergency services and the people of Manchester. The attempt to divide us met countless acts of kindness that brought people closer together.
Jordan Stevenson has told Talk Radio he ignored police advice not to go near to the arena so he could give lifts to stranded teenagers.
I was just thinking about these two 17-year-old girls and seeing parents tweet me saying, can you go and get them? So it was a bit of a bit scary on my way into Manchester on the M62, just thinking, what am I actually doing? But in the end, I just got in and it was pretty quiet and eerie when I did get into the city centre.
The first victim has been named as Georgina Callender, a health and social care student. Well, the Queen has described last night's suicide bombing as an act of barbarity. World leaders have condemned the attack, including US President Donald Trump.
So many young, beautiful, innocent people living and enjoying their lives murdered by evil losers in life. I won't call them monsters because they would like that term.
The mayor of Liverpool, Steve Rotherham, has told Talk Radio it was a nightmare getting a call from his wife who let him know about what happened at the concert which his daughters were at.
The next few seconds seemed to last forever, and you literally froze and your blood runs cold, doesn't it? And then she said there's been a serious incident in Manchester Arena, but the girls are safe.
People searching for loved ones are being urged to go to the Etihad Stadium, while Manchester United have held a minute's silence ahead of training for their Europa League final tonight. There'll also be one at the Cannes Film Festival to honour the victims.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunny spells for many once again this afternoon, but rather murky conditions will persist in the southwest, especially by the coast, with highs of 22 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Okay, so it's obviously with the terrible events of last night, we are suspending the sort of thing we normally do in the afternoon. We're going to be bringing you details as they unfold. Of course, there are more details coming out this afternoon and emerging various names. As we know, as Victoria just said in the news, Islamic State now have claimed responsibility for that attack in Manchester last night. We're going to bring you what we like to think of some different angles on it. Of course, we're going to be talking to the rock band Twin Atlantic later on to get the perspective from a musician's side of the stage, as it were, when, you know, at the end of the day, you've put a concert on. It's not directly your responsibility because there are people whose jobs it is to keep the concert goers safe. But you must feel a certain amount of responsibility because that's the reason they're there. But from their point of view, how does that feel? So we'll be talking to Twin Atlantic. They're going to join us in the studio later. Various people talking to us this afternoon about it. How do you explain it to kids? I've got children. I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. And then when they woke up this morning, now they didn't see the news because the news wasn't on. Because I didn't think it was kind of the sort of thing that should be. And we don't really have the news on like that in the morning in the house. But they're going to be learning about it at school today. And it's a case of when they come home tonight, how do you as a father explain it to them? How do you say, okay, this sort of stuff happens, and yet this was a target of children and your children? And to explain that to kids, how do you do it? Anyway, we're going to be trying to get to the bottom of that. There are maybe no right or wrong answers. Anyway, as I say, normal programming suspended. We're going to be talking about the terrible attacks in Manchester between now and 4 o'clock. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
MP Tabbert. Manchester United will travel to Stockholm today ahead of tomorrow's Europa League final against Ajax. A win would give United a second trophy this season, as well as qualifying them for the Champions League. It's understood Leicester have begun talks with Craig Shakespeare about staying on as manager. He was given the job until the end of the season following Claudio Ranieri's sacking in February, but negotiations started for him to stay on as boss. Shakespeare still has a year remaining on his assistant manager contract. Norwich are reportedly close to appointing Borussia Dortmund's reserve team boss Daniel Farke as their new head coach. It's understood the German will sign a two-year contract to take control of the Skybet Championship side. British and Irish Lions rugby union captain Sam Warburton says he's completely over his knee injury and will be ready to lead the squad on their tour of New Zealand. The Wales flanker hasn't featured since picking up the injury while playing for Cardiff Blues in early April. And in tennis, Petra Kvitova is on track to play at Wimbledon 6.5 months after needing hand surgery following a knife attack. The two-time champion spokesperson says she's now recovered and could even feature at next week's French Open. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
Gargantuan. Megalithic. Monumental. Big words for a big deal from Tesco Mobile. On SIM only, we're giving you a colossal 6 GB of data for a minuscule £13.50 a month, plus 3,000 minutes and 5,000 texts, down from £18 a month. That's a saving of £54. But hurry, this offer ends on the 25th of June. So visit in-store or online today. Smile, you're on Tesco Mobile.
Savings over 12 months. Standard UK landlines and mobiles include EU roaming. T's and C's apply. Visit tescomobile.com.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
And so we find ourselves here again, don't we? In the playground of the broken hearts, to paraphrase. I sat here 2 months ago in this chair, and we were live on air as the terror attack on Westminster Bridge unfolded. It was 2 months ago yesterday. And we went from pouring derision on the launch of something like hipster-flavoured Pringles into live coverage of a terror attack. Now, we suspended our usual programme then, made no apology for it. And I'm going to make no apology for it again today, because another day, another terror attack. And that's not to sound flippant either. Believe me, no one's feeling flippant about the kind of bell end that sits in his house, because it will have been a him, OK, threading together wires and nuts and bolts and shrapnel in a belt or a vest packed with explosive, and then takes himself off to a pop concert for children and then detonates it as the show finishes. As what? Some kind of fundamentalist religious psychopathic encore? Look, right, you're not going to win. Okay, you'll keep attacking, you'll keep fiddling with your knives and your stupid bombs and your car rental agreements in your crappy little room, thinking that you're going to be bringing down the West. You won't. Okay, because even the vast, vast, vast majority of those whose religion you purport to share think that you're a C word. All right, and now last time this happened, we opened the phone lines and we opened them to terrorists and we said, you know, if you are one and you're sitting there and you're going, Yeah, look at last night. Great. Yeah, brilliant. I'm glad that happened. The war against the enemy continues, right? You're sitting there in your ISIS-branded pants that you've made yourself, and you're the kind of person who thinks that your enemy is a 12-year-old girl enjoying a night out. Imagine the threat she poses. Oh, terrible. Then, you know, call us and tell us exactly what that threat is. What exactly are you trying to achieve? Because you're not going to achieve it, are you? No matter how many bridges you drive across or how many pop concerts you target, right? Children, that was, yeah? And just to them, life's just a joy. They're just enjoying a gig, a flimsy pop gig, somebody they like. And they join in with the songs and they dress up and they have a night out. For many, it will have been their first ever gig, right? Think back, if you're listening to this, just think back to your first ever gig. Remember what that was like. Right, I went to an Iron Maiden gig. That was my first gig. And somebody from a balcony above me was sick in my hair. And that's the worst thing that happened, right? But think about that. It's people's first gigs. It's kids. All right? So 03444991000. I'm going to leave those lines open just in case you want to grow a pair. If you are a terrorist and you're listening to this. Didn't happen last time, funny enough. After Westminster, no terrorist phoned in. Because, you know, they didn't really have an argument, not holding my breath. To be honest, I don't imagine they're listening anyway. I think the people who demonstrate psychopathic tendencies tend to listen to heart. But anyway, today, instead of our usual programme, right, we won't be doing that. We're going to be keeping you up to date on the terrible events of last night. And we'll be doing that before 4 o'clock throughout the programme, really. Talking to a variety of guests about it, hopefully bringing you some angles and thoughts that other programmes haven't necessarily been covering. We're here till 4. We'll also take your thoughts if you want to share them. Here's the number, 87222. You can start your message with the word talk or at Talk Radio on Twitter. You can also call us. The number I said is 03444991000. Just tell Cass when she answers the phone whether you're a terrorist or not, so we can put you in the correct caller list. 03444991000. First, though, let's go live to Manchester. Talk Radio's Alex Dibble is on the line. Hello, Alex.
Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. So now you were up. You've been up in Manchester since early this morning, as we know. So just as an overview, Alex, really, about what happened last night and where we are now at 11 minutes past one.
So what we know so far is that just after 10:30 last night, as this Ariana Grande concert was finishing, fans streaming out of the Manchester Arena just behind me, known to many as the MEN Arena, it was at that point that a bomb exploded, which Theresa May, the Prime Minister, has said was deliberately designed and positioned to cause maximum carnage. 22 people have died. And in addition to the bomber himself, who died at the scene as well. Now, this morning, we've discovered that a 23-year-old man has been arrested in the south of Manchester. That's in connection with the attack. Police are trying to establish and work out whether the bomber yesterday was acting alone or if he was part of a network, and the arrest today would seem to suggest, although of course there have been no charges and we don't know what questions the police are asking this man from South Manchester, but it would seem to suggest that he had help last night, and that's the situation we're in at the moment.
And in terms of the you know, we've been hearing a lot today about the resilience of the people in Manchester, and certainly a lot about how people came together last night. Hotels throwing their doors open, taxis taking people away from the area for free, refreshment establishments just giving drinks out to people. I mean, what's the, you know, is there that sense of community evident up there?
It really is. You know, Manchester is a multicultural city, in many ways similar to our capital, London. It is people from all over the world live here and visit here. And people from all over the country were here, of course, at the Ariana Grande concert yesterday, not just people in Manchester. And the solidarity has been huge. You know, I was just speaking to a taxi driver who was driving me around the city this morning, and he was saying that his final job yesterday was to take two girls to the gig, and he's really worried because he hasn't heard from them since. And this man was called Wasif. He was Asian himself, and he was saying this is a terrible thing that has happened. So huge solidarity being expressed with the victims. 22 we know have died, but as Theresa May said in her statement outside Downing Street, there are many being treated for life-threatening injuries in hospitals across Manchester. So we hope it doesn't happen, but the death toll may rise.
Yeah, and in terms of the response, I mean, I went to bed, I guess last night, I went to sleep certainly just as this was sort of beginning to unfold and the conflicting reports were coming out, as they always do in this day and age. You know, Twitter first and then the news agenda has to kind of catch up and find out what's true and what isn't. You know, and there were reports of a bang, I suppose it was being reported initially, at the MEN, and balloons, speakers popping were all mentioned. But the moment, of course, you saw those shots of ambulances, you knew something serious was up, didn't you?
That's right. And what we don't know at this stage is whether the bomber was inside the venue during the concert or whether he waited outside for the concert to end and then entered the foyer where we know the bomb exploded and was detonated. Because there are 21,000 people can fit into the Manchester MEN Arena, and it was full to capacity last night, and therefore, as with any big event, there will have been security checks and bags will have been monitored on their way in. And so we believe, therefore, that this was a man who wasn't in there for the concert. He was just loitering, perhaps, outside the venue, waiting for the doors to be opened wide so 21,000 people could stream out at the end of it. If you've ever been to a concert or a football stadium, you know that it's very difficult to get in at the beginning, but then as soon as it's over, they need to let so many people out that the doors are just thrown open, and that was his opportunity to come in. That would seem to be the most likely scenario at this stage. But then, even this morning, John, a man was arrested at the Arndale shopping centre, again just a few moments from where I'm standing now, and people believed in the chaos that it was another terrorist attack. I was speaking to someone who works at the Arndale. They were evacuated. They said it was just madness, people running. In the end, Greater Manchester Police have said that they don't believe it was connected to the events last night, but such is the anxiousness that people just assumed it was another one and just chaos again.
Yeah, which is to be expected, isn't it? I mean, that's the problem with, you know, part of it's not just the incident itself, it's the ensuing panic that creates this, you know, wave of fear, I guess, which is sort of what these people are looking for. Listen, Alex, thank you very much for joining us. Alex is in Manchester for us. Alex Dibble, of course, if anything else unfolds as the afternoon goes on, we'll go to Alex on the scene. There are reports coming out saying that anybody, and this is a quote, somebody at the Manchester Arena last night saying anybody could walk in with things under their coat. Concertgoers have slammed the horrendous security at Manchester Arena, saying they didn't even have their bags checked before explosions went off. There are various people tweeting about that, obviously. Twitter, isn't it? But there wasn't a metal scanner or a pat-down for anyone entering the entrance at the Victoria side. Are just some of the reports coming out. We're going to try and get to the bottom of some of this. We're talking to someone about concert security later on the programme, among others as well. A lot coming up. The political angle. Campaigning suspended, of course, for the election. Prime Minister's already chaired the first COBRA meeting. We learn there will be another one later as well. Tom Newton-Dunn from The Sun will be talking to us about the political angle of it later. Next on Talk Radio, though, we're going to be talking to an eyewitness, Sean Foley. He's a dad who was caught up in the events yesterday outside the arena as he picked up his daughter Charlotte. He'll be talking to us on Talk Radio next. I'm John Holmes.
Election 2017 on Talk Radio.
The decisions, the debates, the deadline.
Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored.
Join the conversation party. Talk Radio.
There's too much pressure in our lives these days. Like making sure your phone doesn't run out of battery. I'm at 3%. So when it comes to selling your car, try WeBuyAnyCar.com. Our branch staff are there to make life easy. There's no pressure. You can choose to sell or not to sell. Could someone charge me up quick? To sell your car quickly and easily, enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
From the case files of Miss Maureen 118212, the case of the missing vicar.
Well, he wasn't missing. Someone just needed his number to invite him to the garden fete. I found it instantly. Just call me Maureen Directory Inquiries. Oops, more tea, Vicar.
Maureen! 118212.
Calls to Maureen 118212 cost £3.49 per call plus £3.49 a minute with a minimum 1 minute charge. Plus your phone company's access charge.
Where do you search for greatness? Hiring the right people can transform a business. But where are they? Indeed has more candidates than any other job site in the UK. Start your search for greatness by posting a job on Indeed.com today. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M5 is still slow northbound around junction 19 to Portishead after early problems on the entry slip road, which has now been reopened. The northbound M40 remains closed between 11 at Banbury and 12 at Gaydon following an accident there in the early hours. The main carriageway is very busy towards the closure and traffic around Banbury is heavily congested. All the key routes into Warrington are looking really slow after an accident on the A49 at the Bridgeport Island for the A50 and following the incident at Manchester Arena last night in the city centre as a number of local roads closed. Victoria Station remains closed as well. I'm Jarena Adams.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. It is Talk Radio. It's 20 minutes past 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. The day after, of course, the evening of these terrible events in Manchester. We are suspending what we normally do on a afternoon between 1 and 4 today because we are covering this big story. And that's the right thing to do, frankly. Sean Foley is on the telephone. He was caught up in the incident last night outside the arena. Good afternoon, Sean.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. So, talk us through your story, Sean. So, you were there to pick up your daughter, is that right?
they're a daughter and a son, Charlotte and Decker.
Okay.
Yeah, basically what I did is drop them off, saw them in the queue, saw them through the doors of the foyer, and then went and sat in the car with a sandwich, watching TV on my iPad.
Right. And then, so you were sitting outside for the duration of the concert, essentially, so that was...
Yeah,
a lot of parents were.
Yeah. I was actually in the car park above, the multi-story car park, so I was on level 5 and the concert is basically down below me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, go on, and tell us, so obviously, fairly uneventful all the way through the evening, up until the point when people began to leave.
Yeah, about 10:05, I made my way down, because I saw people walking past my car, and thought that, you know, the last couple of songs to get down there. We actually made a meeting place where we'd be outside, and so I was stood there about 10:05. People were coming out, probably about 40 or 50 parents stood waiting for the children to come out of the concert. I actually sent a photo of the foyer area to my girlfriend, and put still waiting, ... as in, you know, I'm fed up now. But then I text my daughter to hurry up, because I've got a long drive in the morning to work. She texts back, she said, won't be long now, Dad. And then at about 10:20, I texted again and says, come on, you know, enough's enough, let's go. 24 minutes passed, she said, on way. So about 10:30, they actually came out, and we turned around and we ran through the double doors up the staircase, two levels to my car. I opened the doors to the car park on level 5, and bang.
Wow.
The explosion happened there and then. We were two levels above the arena, and there was a big, like, a vibration, and to my right there was carnage, glass, car shattered, you know, blowing up in people's faces, with people laying about on the floor. We immediately got into the car, and there was a woman that ran towards us, her face was all bloodied, and I said, are you okay? And she gave me the thumbs up, and I said, what happened? She said, she just put her palms up in the air and went, I don't know. So I got in my car, and luckily I was about 10 in the queue to get out, and the barriers were actually down at this moment. They were just like putting your tickets in the machine and the barrier go up, and I shouted to them, I said, you best get them barriers up, because there's been a bomb explosion. So they immediately put the barriers up, using an emergency lane to get out, an extra lane to get out of the car park, and we just virtually got out before the place was on shut down.
Were you frightened, Sean?
You go into a safety mode, if that sounds right. I actually, before we left the car park, I actually stopped my car, put my handbrake on, and was going to get out to help the people that were laid on the floor.
Mm.
But my daughter, Charlotte, bless her, she said, Dad, what is another explosion? So, as a first aider, you know, you've got to think of yourself first. So that's what I did.
Yeah. And in terms of, did you know straight away what it was? I mean, because last night when it happened, there were so many conflicting reports initially, and of course there were. It was confusing. And with people even blaming large balloons that were in the venue and speakers and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Was it immediately obvious what it was?
Yes, absolutely was, yeah. Since it was being there, it was obvious what it was,
Definitely.
And
how are your children with it? I mean, that is a lot to come to terms with.
It is.
How old are they, Sean?
Charlotte's 21 and Declan's 14.
Okay, so...
You know, they're both very shook up, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But both fantastic kids.
Yeah,
You have to be alive, basically, because if they... My son wanted to stay in there till the end, because he's the Ariana Grande fan.
Yeah.
And if he stayed in to the end, they wouldn't have come out at the time they did. And I would have probably been right across the walls when they came out, because people in the event were fine.
Yeah, It was seemingly straight after the last song, wasn't it? And people sort of were coming out and almost immediately, as people do with gigs, don't they? They leave slightly early, or they know it's coming to an end, so they try and get ahead of the crowd. Yeah.
I always do.
And have you spoken to them about it since?
Yes.
I mean, because what do you say? What do you say to a 14-year-old about, you know, the state of the world?
I kept on asking him if he's okay and he's fine, and you naturally gauge if they are okay. And he's gone reserved, my daughter has as well, but the strong characters, they will come out of it, but we've got to keep our eyes on them.
Yeah.
We've got to get them through it, because it could be post-traumatic, you see, so you never know. I feel it myself. I'm driving down now to Essex for work, and I just feel I'll weep, and then I'll be okay, and then I'll listen to a song, and then it'll just come back again. You know, it's weird. Unless you've actually been there, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah, no, well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk us through it. And in terms of the I mean, you were, as you say, about number 10 in the queue, but in terms of when you were leaving, were the emergency services all ready? I mean, did you pass them on the way? Was there a sense that this was sort of mobilising, or were you out of there before any of that happened?
We got to the entrance of the car park, and we saw one police van that had just arrived. There was pandemonium, girls screaming and shouting, blood all over the faces.
Yeah.
And we basically got out of there literally as the roads were being closed down and the emergency services were making their way. And going down the M62 last night, there was at least 30 emergency vehicles going the opposite way into Manchester, so we knew it was big.
Yeah. And in terms of your sighting of security, because there are people saying, certain reports anyway, and I'm just quoting these, I don't know whether they're true, we haven't learned the fact here yet, but there are people on Twitter saying that they weren't searched at the last night's gig, there weren't any metal detectors, people's bags weren't searched. I mean, in terms of what you saw when you dropped the kids off even, I mean, what's the security at one of these places like?
It was good going in, but it was very poor coming out.
Right.
There was every door that had security on. My daughter's bag was checked. Two cans of Pepsi were removed.
Yep.
But when I was waiting for them to come out, there was two staff members on the doors. There was two other staff members sort of stood in the middle of the foyer, and there was one staff member at the doors that led out to Victoria Station down the steps. But I'm sure there was two police PCOs to my left blocking the entrance to the tram doors, and that was it. There was nothing else.
Okay. And were you on, because of, you know, we live in these heightened times, people are told to be vigilant all the time. I mean, when you know, I mean, it's easy to say now in hindsight, of course, but when you are going to a place like that, you know, are in the back of your mind as a dad and as just a human being, you know, are you more conscious of events that could happen than maybe you were even 18 months ago?
Without a shadow of a doubt, I stood there and I called my girlfriend and I said, it's very quiet, there isn't a lot happening. I was very observant around me, and I think that's where we've got to be.
All right.
I really do.
Sean, listen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon. Really appreciate that.
And
best wishes to you and your family as well, of course, of your son and your daughter there. That's Sean Foley, who was picking his children up from the Manchester Arena last night. They were at the Ariana Grande concert. And that's what he saw. He was on the second level car park. He went down to pick them up, exchanged a couple of text messages. They got out of the foyer, went up the stairs to the car park, and that's when the bomb went off. People running past him with bloodied faces, the car glass shattering, as you heard there. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. We've suspended what we normally do between 1 and 4 o'clock to bring you this coverage. Later on, we'll be taking some different angles as well. We're going to be talking to Ian Trenham, who's the chief executive of the NHS Blood and Transplant unit, because a lot of calls have been going out for blood donations this afternoon, so we want to be getting to the bottom of how important that is in situations such as this. Twin Atlantic, the rock band, hopefully going to be joining us as well in the studio to talk as well Firstly, of course, they've got a new single out, but also it's very interesting to hear about, I think, from the rock band's point of view. We've heard a lot today from the point of view of the gig goers and the point of view of the parents that were picking them up and so on and so forth. But, you know, what if you're a rock band? It's you're the reason that people were there in the first place. How does that feel? We'll be finding out with them as the afternoon wears on, I hope. It's Talk Radio. It's 1:30 now. Victoria, she's got the latest news.
Talk Radio.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for last night's deadly suicide bombing in Manchester. 22 people were killed and around 60 others injured in the attack at an Ariana Grande pop concert. In the last few minutes, 8-year-old Safi Rose Roussos has become the second victim to be named. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has sent out a message of defiance.
In these circumstances, we have to come together. In these circumstances, a city and a community comes together in solidarity and in strength. So we carry on. We don't allow these attacks and these people to divide us or prevent us from leading the decent, normal lives that we all want to lead.
Security services believe they know the identity of the attacker of what is the worst terrorist incident in Britain since the 7/7 bombings. A 23-year-old man has also been arrested in connection with the attack. Jonathan Russell is from the anti-extremism think tank Quilliam Global.
This isn't just trying to strategically take out one or two victims. This is to spark fear. And this fits in with a long jihadist strategy which aims to spark chaos. So to get states to overreact and to get societies to turn in on each other.
Friends and relatives are continuing to try and find loved ones who haven't been in touch since the blast. They're posting messages and photos on social media. Sean Foley was caught up outside the arena with his children. He's told John he's worried about how they'll deal with the attack.
He's gone reserved, and the daughter has as well. But the strong characters, they will come out, but we've got to keep our eyes on them. We've got to get them through it because it could be post-traumatic, you see, so you never know. I feel it myself.
The Queen has expressed her admiration for the way the people of Manchester have responded with humanity and compassion. While James Corden paid an emotional tribute on his Late Late Show in the US last night on the CBS network.
My thoughts and prayers are with everyone in Manchester tonight. All of the staff at the MEN Arena, all of the security teams, all of the emergency services, Ariana and her team, and all of those families affected by tonight.
A vigil is going to be held in Albert Square in the city to remember the victims this evening. The weather, sunny spells for many once again this afternoon, highs of 22 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Victoria with us throughout the afternoon, of course, bringing us the latest on the half hours. Meanwhile, we'll be getting to the bottom of some of the surrounding elements, I think, to this story. Next, we're going to be talking to Tim Cocker. Tim's in Manchester. He's from Manchester. Our Virgin Radio colleague, of course, about the sense of the city itself. It's Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So, yes, Talk Radio then. Tuesday afternoon. It is the day after the tragic events, of course, at the MEN Arena last night, the Ariana Grande concert. Tim Cocker is a radio broadcaster. He's on the phone. Hello, Tim.
Afternoon, John.
Afternoon. So, right, OK. So, Tim, I've known you for a while. I know you have a great love for your home city, for Manchester, of course. And, you know, we're hearing a lot about the sense of community over the past couple of hours. You know, that we even heard about the Queen there sort of commending the people of Manchester for what they've been doing. We hear about hotels throwing their doors open, taxi drivers giving free rides to people, refreshment stands giving free drinks to people. Is this typical of Manchester?
100%, and it's absolutely no surprise. It was heartwarming and lovely to see that sense of unity and compassion when something like that happens. But it will come as no surprise to anyone who's lived in or even been to Manchester. Frankly, I wasn't born there. I've lived there for 11 years.
And yeah.
I remember within 10 minutes of pulling up in the van with all the stuff to move into my house, I'd met half a dozen of my neighbours. One of them had made me a cup of tea. Another one had helped me get a sofa into the house. That's just kind of the way it is. People understand that when something happens to one person, it happens to everyone. And that's now, when we've seen that last night in the ways that you mentioned, but it's as old as the cobbles that the city's built on. Just think back to, you know, the suffragette movement. Emmeline Pankhurst led that. She was from Manchester. There's a Peterloo massacre, which is when the workers in Manchester all got together to fight and some of them lost their lives fighting for political representation. And that's just the spirit of the city. Looking after other people is just what we do.
Why is that, do you think? What is it about? Because you don't, you know, we got the terror attack in London 2 months ago. While you have a sense of people carrying on with their lives and people carrying on and going, right, that, you know, the sense, very much a sense of resilience. And you work in London, so you get a sense of both.
Yeah.
What's the palpable difference? Why do you think? And I realise I'm asking you a deep psychological question, Tim, so deal with
it. No.
What is it between, where's that divide, the nature of community can be citywide somewhere but not somewhere else?
Yeah, I know what you mean, and this isn't disparaging anything, because there's community and there's that sense, and you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be going, hold on, exactly what you've talked about, I have where I am. All I can say from Manchester is it, I think it probably has its roots in the Industrial Revolution started here. And so you had this sort of workers getting together, helping each other out. Again, like I said, making sure they were represented properly, everyone in the country was. And it had the first publicly funded library in Manchester. So there's just kind of this sense of sort of fairness and looking after each other. And I think that's got its roots, those kind of working class roots. And, you know, the last couple of years, as we've all seen, it's been a really divisive kind of, you know, pitting different groups of people against each other. But I think actually those real core working class values of looking after your fellow man, yeah, that's what this whole spirit is based on in Manchester.
Yeah. And in terms of what the people are talking about there today, because did you go up yesterday or have you been up all week? I'm not sure how long you've been there.
Yeah, no, I got back to Piccadilly Station on the train from work last night.
Okay.
It would have been just after the bomb explosion happened, and I heard loads of sirens and saw some cars flying through town, and yeah, just kind of thought, oh, there's been an incident or something. Didn't really think anything of it, and then got home, and obviously my wife was there saying, have you seen the news and all the rest of it? And then it was, just couldn't sleep last night. But exactly as you said, there's countless stories of people that just, that their first instinct was to actually head into danger, even if actually the police are saying it's not helpful, please go away, but their instinct was to just go and help.
And you're a father, I'm a father. What do you make of, I mean, have you, how do you talk to your kids about it? Because I haven't yet, and you know, they didn't know about it this morning, because that doesn't happen in the house in terms of news in the morning. There's far too much other stuff to do, but you know, it will have come up at school, of course, and tonight they'll ask questions, and I don't know the answers to the questions they're going to ask necessarily, and you can only do your best, but you know, how do you deal with it? How do you explain this sort of thing to kids?
Well, typically, I'm sure this will be familiar to a lot of people, and I'm ashamed to say that the missus took care of that this morning. But I think what we told them the facts without making it, you know, not in all its detail. We give the bare facts. I think I believe in just being honest and upfront and straight. So we said what had happened, and that people will be talking about it at school, and there'll be lots of people asking questions, and whatever you feel, that feeling's okay. And the school have been, you know, as we know in situations like this, the teachers are amazing with it, and they've been keeping us up to speed with what they've been saying to the kids and how they've been dealing with it. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually had a conversation myself. That I'll be having that this evening, much like you, John.
Yeah. What happens now? I mean, Manchester, you know, it's not, you know, was it 22 years ago, the IRA bomb? Is that about,
yeah,
that's about right,
that's
isn't
right.
it, in Warrington? So Manchester, you know, has experienced this kind of thing before in terms of having to rebuild and regroup. And is it a sense, though, that now, like any big city, you just kind of have to keep going forward, look to the future, remember the victims, and get on with it?
Yeah, I think what you want to say is, right, nothing's going to change, we're going to carry on, and that's what people do say, and that's your instinct to say that, and it feels like the right thing to say. I actually just think, let's just have a little bit of reflection for a bit. I think that's probably the word I'd say as I stroll around in the sunshine of the city today, just kind of somber reflection. And it's okay to feel a bit scared. I think I have a concert I wanted to go to, the Cortinas play at the cricket ground this Saturday.
Yeah,
I'm waiting to see if that's still on or not. But I'm not. I'd like to think I will go, regardless. But I'm not putting myself under pressure to feel bad if I am a bit scared right now, because that's all right. That's all just part of the process of it all sinking in and working it through.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting to see actually what happens, you know, and obviously you said with the music background, but in terms of how this affects gigs, we've got Twin Atlantic coming in this afternoon as well to talk about it from a musician's point of view, which I think is quite interesting because, you know, it alters, you know, people are there in your name, in a manner of speaking, even though it's nothing to do with you. You've got to feel a sense of guilt. How do you deal with that? I think that, all that's very interesting, and it'd be interesting to see whether the Cortinas do that because obviously Manchester being their, you know, big hometown. Listen, Tim, thanks for talking to us, taking the time. Tim Cocker is on Virgin Radio 7 to 11 on Monday to Thursday. And as I say, he's up in Manchester there, just giving us a sense, really, of it as a city, which is, if you live Manchester, you know Manchester, and I know it quite well, you know, that the cities have their different vibes, don't they? Manchester's got it, Liverpool's got it, you know, London's got a very aloof one, if resilient. But I think it is quite interesting to get a perspective of people from their cities to find out, you know, just how they react to things in this way, because it is a big sense of community. And it takes something like this to really bring that home. Anyway, in the next bit of the programme, the political angle. We'll be talking to Tom Newton Dunn. He's the Sun's political editor, of course. Campaigning has been suspended. Theresa May's on her way to Manchester, as you'd expect it to be. She's already chaired one Cobra meeting. But what are the politicians doing about it? Have we heard enough platitudes? Do we want them to do more? Where do we go next? Can they do more? We'll talk to Tom and find out all the latest from the political angle. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Dave, this is not the way to the ground. Please put the sat-nav on.
Sat-nav? I don't need that. I'm a human compass, me.
You won't get good odds on what happens next. But for great in-play prices on the footy, get yourself to 10bet.co.uk and score a first deposit bonus of up to £200.
David, I don't think this is Wembley, is it?
When it's time to bet, it's time to 10bet.
Minimum deposit £15. Deposit must be staked in full to qualify. 5 rollovers of deposit and bonus required. Single bets and ACCAs only. Please bet responsibly.
A tough and overgrown lawn never gets in the way of the McCulloch man when there's a match on. Like a powerful striker with his McCulloch lawnmower. He has the power to get the job done, cutting the lawn down to size well before the pre-match build-up, leaving it looking good enough to host the cup final. Get your McCulloch lawnmower and other garden power tools at good DIY stores nationwide or at McCulloch.com. McCulloch, the power to get the job done.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Stephen Saunders from Nottingham received £1,856 on his credit card.
I wasn't sure whether I'd pay PPI on my credit card. Stanton Fisher did everything for me and took control of the claim. I would happily recommend Stanton Fisher to friends and family.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Now the latest traffic news. There are widespread reports of camels, yes, camels, on roads right across the region. But no hold-ups. Once those camels fill up, they keep going. Like when you fill up with BP Ultimate with active technology. It removes dirt to help your engine perform at its best, so you can keep moving. And finally, reports of more camels on the ring road. Keep moving with BP Ultimate. Green lights all the way.
Benefits achieved over time and may vary due to factors including vehicle type, condition and driving style. See bp.com/ultimate.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M4 is looking slow because of a breakdown between junctions 10 and 11 near Reading. The northbound M40 stays closed between 11 and 12 near Banbury. This is following an accident which happened in the early hours of this morning. Traffic around Banbury very busy. There's a broken down vehicle on the M56 in Cheshire causing eastbound queues around junction 12. There's congestion into Warrington on many of the key routes after early problems on the A49 at the bridge for Ireland. And after the incident at Manchester Arena last night, many of the city centre roads stay closed. Victoria Station is closed as well. I'm Jarena Adams.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's Supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the Fleet Street firebrand who isn't afraid to shoot from the lip.
I'll be talking about all the biggest stories. If you're talking about them, so are we. But we'll get behind the headlines, talk to the biggest guests and those politicians, just so you don't have to.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
On it.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
At 2:15, good afternoon. If you've just joined us, it's Talk Radio, suspending normal programming, the kind of thing we normally do between 1 and 4 in the afternoon, certainly to bring you continued coverage, of course, of the terrible attacks on the Manchester Arena last night. It's easy to forget, I suppose, in a couple of weeks. The news agenda shifts so quickly. When something like this happens, that there's going to be a general election. I don't know whether you remember that. All parties have suspended campaigning for today as a mark of respect. And Theresa May has addressed the press outside Downing Street. She chaired a meeting of COBRA this morning. Manchester Mayor Andy Burnham, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn have also spoken to the press. The Sun's political editor, Tom Newton-Dunn, is on the phone. Hello, Tom.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thanks for taking the time to join us again. So, campaigning suspended for today. Is that, that's normal in a situation like this, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's very normal. I think from reasonably around 11 o'clock last night, as soon as we knew there'd been fatalities in the explosion, very far away from knowing it was the caused by a suicide bomber or potentially the act of terrorism, we knew that there would be no campaigning at all today, for the simple reason that it's respectful to the dead, and politicians do want to appear respectful, and indeed most of them are respectful, but also a slightly more practical reason: it is simply impossible to do the sort of Yabu suck speeches, slagging off your opponent, sort of Punch and Judy stuff that we're getting very used to in this election campaign. While there are so many more grave matters going on in people's thoughts, quite frankly, elsewhere. So even politicians did want to have their say and have a bit of a shout. And there's still one or two around today who don't want to stop campaigning. A few from UKIP saying, well, why should we be silent? We need to ask some very important questions about what happened here. The general fact is, isn't listening anymore.
No, because, as I said, the agenda does shift, doesn't it? And it just puts things into perspective in some kind of a way. And everyone needs to take a moment to step back. I mean, is there, can we expect campaigning to resume tomorrow? Is that, you know, there'll be a day of off and then it'll be back and then some of these questions will start to be answered?
Well, there has been no decision yet. I mean, all we know is it's suspended indefinitely. And I suppose it's a day-to-day rolling thing. We'll hear tonight whether Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn are going to continue tomorrow. My very strong feeling is we won't have campaigning tomorrow. Honestly, I would say we probably have to wait to the weekend for the election to get back up and running again. Yeah. It's interesting that there's no set rules who decides these things. It's really thrashed out between Jeremy Corbyn and Theresa May, the leaders of the by far the two biggest parties. We understood they had a conversation around dawn this morning, extremely early, between 4 and 5 a.m., to come to this decision. And if you look at what's actually happening later in the week, on Thursday, which is obviously just the day after tomorrow, it's the NATO summit, which Theresa May is going to with the 27 other members of NATO, including Donald Trump for the first time. And on Friday, it's the G7 summit in Sicily, where Theresa May will also be going to, as long as the six other leaders of the world's richest nations. So you can really see why, certainly from the Tories' perspective, the Prime Minister, their main cheerleader, and quite frankly, the only actual second voice in the election campaign because they're making it so presidential, won't be heard at all, apart from on the world stage. So I think the Tories, and because it may take 3 or 4 days for the enormity of this event to pass and to sink in, it feels like the weekend is the time to resume things again. Now, Labour may not be very happy with that because 3 or 4 days is quite a long time with really only just over 2 weeks to go until polling day now to suspend things. And when you suspend things, that of course means that you have no ability at all to have your message being passed across. And with the Prime Minister at international summits and leading the nation's response to this appalling attack, they may feel that they're being hard done by. I mean, the truth of the matter is this just happens and everyone understands that there needs to be a pause now. And if you think back to the murder of Joe Cox during the referendum campaign, yep, that was barely a week out from polling day. campaigning was suspended for a good 3 days. And one side was very upset, the other side wasn't. But everybody lives with it and sucks it up because sometimes there are bigger things in life than politics.
Indeed. And can we imagine in any way that the attack will affect the election? I mean, because it's a very fine line to tread, isn't it? Because politicians can be accused of using something like this to further their own agendas once the campaigning gets back underway. And it's a very, very fine line. But people's attitudes will shift because of what's happened?
I don't know about that, to be honest. I think there'll be a lot of people claiming, well, you know, who has the strong suit on terrorism security? Some people might think Theresa May is a lot better than that than Jeremy Corbyn, depending on your view of the world, quite frankly. Honestly, I'm not entirely sure these things matter at the end of the day. People don't make their minds up on a single terrorist incident normally. And certainly with the murder of Joe Cox, if you remember, a passionate Remain campaigner, at the time, just before the EU referendum, it was thought that the murder of Joe Cox would significantly help the Remain side because it would try and persuade people, A, they feel sympathy for her, and B, it might persuade people out of slightly more isolationist and right-leaning views. And, of course, that didn't happen at all. Leave won and by 1.4 million votes. So, though I don't think the outcome will have any massive effect on this, I do think it might change certainly the nature of the debate in the immediate aftermath of this. So when campaigning does begin again over the weekend and next week, terrorism and security will be front and centre. Yeah. And the party leaders, all of them, will have some questions to answer, further questions to answer. And it won't just be on Jeremy Corbyn and his views on terrorism, how he handled it. It'll also be on Theresa May, because we must remember she was in charge of the Home Office and running the nation's security for 6 years. So she may well have to explain, you know, why it is that such an appalling attack has happened. Now, she is not expected to stop every single attack that comes through. That's unrealistic. But certainly, she will have to answer some questions on what was known and what more could have been done.
And policies that were put through under her tenure that could have led to the situation we're in. Listen, Tom, thank you very much for joining us. Tom Newton-Dunn there, he's the chief, he's some political editor, bringing us up to date on the politics of it all. On the line now is Ian Trenham. He's the chief executive of NHS Blood and Transplant. Hello, Ian.
Hi there, John.
Thanks for joining us. We've seen a lot, of course, viral social media sites at the moment. People in Manchester queuing up outside blood banks. I've been hearing a lot about people queuing up to give blood, asking where to give blood, how to give blood. And we get that a lot in situations like this because people want to be seen to be doing something. People want to help. How necessary is it for people to give blood at a time like this?
Well, I'd just like to say to everyone, thank you very much for getting in touch to offer to give blood. The response has been absolutely overwhelming. However, we do plan for these events rather sadly, and we make sure that we have enough blood in stock to deal with these events, so that we know that there's enough supply right to cover right across the country. So, I think really the big thank you is to our regular donors who come in week in, week out, and make sure there's blood on the shelf so that we can cope with an incident like this, distressing as it is.
Yeah, and in terms of how it's done, because I which I think a lot of people are interested in, you know, because you don't know where the next terrorist attack or incident where a lot of blood is needed is going to happen. Is it kept regionally or centrally? How do you distribute it around the country?
We manage our stocks centrally insofar as we have a central planning process, and we have some very sophisticated algorithms that look at which hospitals we use which amounts of blood, and we work closely with our colleagues in hospitals. So we make sure we've got a number of days blood in stock in our centres, as well as which are distributed across the country, as well as each hospital has 5 or 6 days blood stock as well. And then we've been working with colleagues overseas just to understand what's gone on in some of the tragedies overseas, to understand what lessons we can learn from them, and we've obviously learned those lessons as well. So that's why we're in a position where we can supply all of the blood that's been necessary over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, and as you say, it's about planning. But presumably your message is to encourage people to give blood on a regular basis so that you've got that stock in place for next time something like this happens anyway.
Absolutely. Most of our blood is given by people who come in with an appointment, and we'd encourage those people in the next few days who've got an appointment to keep that appointment, particularly those people who are O negative, the universal blood type. And those people who are interested in being first-time donors, if they go onto our website and they can sign up for an appointment on our website or on the telephone, of course.
Yeah. And in terms of those blood types, I mean, when you, you're doing, I mean, I am not medically trained, Ian, be no surprise to you. But in terms of the blood types, is it a case of you manage each blood type? Because I sometimes wonder how it works with blood stocks, because you suddenly go, oh my goodness, you read about this. We suddenly are running out of this type. And then there's a call for people to give that type because that's a rare type. I mean, how do you sort of balance the books on it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, we do tend to try and ensure that we've got we allocate appointments based on blood types as far as we possibly can. Every mobile team has a set of targets in terms of different blood types. When we invite people, we invite regular donors in at certain time intervals, all of which is aimed at ensuring we have the right mix of stock as we talk about it, because blood has a shelf life of just over a month, so we need to make sure that blood doesn't expire, which is really why we're encouraging people today not to come and all give blood on one single day, because in 30 days' time we won't have been able to use it all. So that's why we want people to give blood over a period of days and months. So really, over the next couple of months, we need people to come in rather than just all in one day.
And in terms of people who do give blood, and how regularly do you call upon them, or are they called upon to come and donate?
Generally speaking, men can give blood up to once every 3 months, and women at once every 4 months. But again, it depends on blood types. Some people we might invite a little less often than that. But for some blood types, we'll be inviting them in on 3 or 4 months, depending on whether they're a man or a woman.
And do you still get a biscuit at the end?
You certainly do. You can have a range of biscuits and cups of tea and all sorts of things.
Good, all right. It's important. That's Ian. Thank you for talking to us, Ian. Good to talk to the Chief Executive of NHS Blood and Transplant. Because in situations like this, one of the first things you read is of people queuing up because they want to help to give blood. But the message is, while thank you, don't rush to do it today. They have enough stocks. Blood can only be kept for 30 days. If you give it today and they don't need it, your blood will then be useless in 30 days' time. If you want to donate, the message from Ian there is do it regularly, get yourself an appointment, go along and fit yourself into the actual blood donation programme rather than just turning up on the day. Because at the moment, thank goodness, they've got enough. So if you want to give blood... As you said, there's the website for you if you want to go and do it and get involved. In the next bit of the programme, we're going to be talking music, because last night was a concert, of course. This is where it happened, in Manchester. And immediately as it happened, Ariana Grande tweeted. But what's it like from the musician's point of view when something like this happens? Do you feel responsible? Twin Atlantic are a world-straddling rock band. They have a new single out. They're going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about that. But we're also going to be talking a little bit about what it's like being a musician when something like this happens. Twitter full, of course, of musicians talking about it today, because it's their industry, and it's an attack on their fans. So a lot of them take that very personally and feel very personal about it. But I think that's quite an interesting area. We are suspending normal programming today. We're not doing what we normally do between 1 and 4 o'clock here on Talk Radio because of the events of last night. So we are here till 4, bringing you more perspectives on those events as the afternoon wears on. Talk Radio in the afternoons. Victoria's going to have the news next.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Say you signed up to that beast of a 20 gig phone contract. Seemed a good idea at the time. But 6 months later, you're barely using any of it. And your contract means you're stuck paying for it month after month. Say it's not so. But say there was a new mobile company, one that gives you the freedom to change your mix of data, calls, and texts each and every month. Well, say hello to Sky Mobile. Sky. Believe in better.
Minimum term of 12 months. Upgrades effective immediately. Downgrades are effective from the following month. For full terms, go to sky.com/mobile.
Ali's tricked you, citrus salmon.
My husband doesn't much like healthy food. He says it's boring. He says it doesn't fill him up. Thinks it's not proper food. We're having citrus salmon for supper tonight, and one of my little tricks is to add zest of orange, a little black pepper and parsley. My other little trick is not to tell them it's healthy.
Find Ali's Trick 2 Citrus Salmon recipe in-store and online. Food Love Stories. Brought to you by Tesco.
Hi, my suitcase hasn't arrived. I've been waiting ages.
Let's check the system. Was a direct flight?
Connecting. I stopped in Bangkok.
And before that?
Well, the Maldives, yes. And Dubai, okay. Barbados, Koh Samui. Oh, and that amazing volcano in Bali.
Nicer problems to have. This Tuesday, there's a £99 million EuroMillions jackpot. And you can also win the best of Japan. And £1 million cash. Get your tickets for Tuesday's event. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
1 million is a gargantuan amount, isn't it? If 1 million people stood on each other's shoulders, they'd reach all the way to space. It'd be a bit cold at the top, though. Brr. So if I told you over 1 million people have chosen to sell their cars with WeBuyAnyCar.com, you might think, wow, I'm going to give that a go. Gargantuan. I like that word. Why don't you join them? Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Admin fee may apply. For more information, see webuyanycar.com/info.
Score yourself a winner with The Sun. Join me, The Sun's chief football reporter, Neil Ashton, for all the latest stats, chats and spats. Our coverage is more Pep than Guardiola, tackles opponents tougher than Terry, and scores more winners than our mate Zlatan. Plus, don't miss your number one football pullout. It's goals every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday and Sunday. Go on, pick up The Sun today for just 50p.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
At just after 2 o'clock, good afternoon, I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, PM condemns Manchester attack. An eight-year-old is among the dead. And concerts cancelled in response.
Talk Radio.
An eight-year-old girl has become the second person to be named as a victim of last night's deadly suicide bombing at a pop concert. Safi Rose Russo and 18-year-old Georgina Callender are among the 22 people who were killed at the Manchester Arena. At least 12 of the 59 injured in the blast shortly after Ariana Grande finished performing are children. The Prime Minister, who has travelled to the city, has called the attack callous.
All acts of terrorism are cowardly attacks on innocent people. But this attack stands out for its appalling, sickening cowardice, deliberately targeting innocent, defenceless children and young people.
Charlotte has told Talk Radio she and her brother were meeting their dad in a nearby car park when it happened.
We just heard this massive bang, bang. And my dad went, that's an explosion, that's an explosion. And me and my brother were like, what? What? Like, we didn't believe it and we felt the shudder beneath our feet. And it's you just don't expect it. You're at a pop concert. I've took my 14-year-old brother. You go in to have a really good time and that happens.
The Islamic State group has claimed one of its soldiers carried it out, while a 23-year-old man has also been arrested. In the last few minutes, Greater Manchester Police has carried out a controlled explosion in the Fallowfield area. People searching for loved ones are being urged to go to the Etihad Stadium. Maya Patel is supplying phone chargers there so people can reassure their family members.
The people have got phones, but they've run out of charge, so they're really appreciative of the charge. It just means they can now contact their families and their friends and let them know they're okay. Yeah, so really appreciative. And we've offered some additional support if they need any phone, any other communication needs we can help with. And we've offered that help as well.
A number of concerts have been cancelled in response to the attack. Take That were due to play in Liverpool tonight. Gary Barlow says their gig security is going to change to keep people safer, while Jason Manford and John Bishop have cancelled a charity comedy gig that was due to be held in Manchester on Saturday. They say they're heartbroken.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunny spells for many once again this afternoon, highs of 22 degrees.
Thank you very much, Victoria. She'll be back, of course, with the latest at 2:30. Now here's Pete Abbott with the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Pete Abbott. Manchester United midfielder Ander Herrera says the club will have had a great season if they win the Europa League tomorrow night. They finished sixth in the Premier League, but having won the EFL Cup, Herrera says victory against Ajax in Stockholm would make this season a success. Meanwhile, it's reported that Wayne Rooney will be dropped from the England squad ahead of next month's World Cup qualifier against Scotland. He struggled for game time at Manchester United this season, despite starting the last five Premier League games. It's understood Hull boss Marco Silva is in his home country country of Portugal for talks about the Porto head coach job. There's a position available after Nuno Espirito Santo left his role. Meanwhile, Leicester have begun talks with Craig Shakespeare about staying on as manager. And Skybet League 2 side Crawley have appointed former Leeds and Liverpool winger Harry Kewell as their new head coach. Finally, British and Irish Lions rugby union captain Sam Warburton says he's completely over his knee injury and will be ready to lead the squad on their tour of New Zealand. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's 2:05. It's Talk Radio. It's a Tuesday afternoon and I am John Holmes. So, yeah, ordinarily, we wouldn't be bringing you this kind of show. It's not what we do between 1 and 4 o'clock. Because mostly we just mess about a bit. However, events of last night change things somewhat, of course, and today we are bringing you continued coverage of the terrible attacks in Manchester last night, but with a sort of kind of spin in a way, because we like to bring the different angles into this. And we're going to do that a bit now. And I can guarantee you that no other broadcast network is talking to Twin Atlantic right now. The rock band Twin Atlantic, Sam and Ross, Sam vocals, Ross bass and keyboards, of course. Join me in the studio now. Thanks for coming in, gentlemen.
Hello, of course.
It's good to see you. On what is a difficult day, let's be honest, and what I wanted to talk about, before we talk about the band and stuff, we might as well hit this head on, because this happened at a gig, okay, and this is, as Theresa May has been saying as well, what a callous thing to do. That is, you know, the targeting kids who are just there, you know, and these are young kids as well, of course, who are there for a pop night out and stuff. And from and a lot of musicians have been tweeting about this kind of thing today, and we're hearing about a lot of gigs being cancelled. And I just thought, if it was all right with you, just to kind of get your take from a musician's side when something like this happens, because people go to gigs to see a band. It's not the band's fault that this happens, but they're there for the band.
Right, of course.
And that must affect your thinking.
To be honest, the first hurdle you need to get over is, rather than from a musician's point of view, is we're just, you know, ultimately people receiving the news is like anyone else. So it is a bit of a sort of numbing experience right now. And maybe that is magnified because, you know, we've played that venue. It's so extra close to home. And we're actually on tour right now and going ahead with our show tonight. Because, I mean, it's kind of the only thing we can do to contribute is to kind of like keep our heads high. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. I think
provide that service.
I was surprised to hear about gigs being cancelled because it's on one hand you've got this mentality of no, we carry on as normal.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're suddenly going, oh, hang on a minute, Take That have pulled a gig. Jason Manford's pulled a gig. I don't think that's the right thing to do either. I think you should just carry on.
Yeah, they're so much more emotionally involved, those two, I guess, because they're from Manchester, right? And well, two of the guys I think Take That are. They're
yeah,
from
so
Manchester,
maybe it's a slightly different thing.
Yeah. It's just such a difficult day to even process it. Like you're saying, they've targeted probably one of the weakest, you know, points of humanity. I don't mean literally, I just mean like how it plays on your emotions, it being like defenseless kids. They went to something to experience joy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like rippled through the world, this like crazy, you know, like I do feel quite numb about it because it is so extremely evil. That you can't really process it.
It's because I think you're right, and I think Ross as well. In terms of just as human beings, we can't conceive, can we, of the mentality of someone who would go and do that?
Well, no. I mean, you can understand why people have things that they obviously feel passionately about, and some people feel that they're backed into corners. But it just doesn't seem like there's ever a reason to go after like children. Yeah. You know, it's just not right.
Yeah. In terms of, that aside and gigs and so on and so forth, and a lot of people have been at their first gig last night. And I was talking earlier about my first gig. The worst thing that happened to me, my first gig, it was an Iron Maiden concert.
Oh, yeah.
And someone was sick in my hair. But, you know, people go to these things for fun. That's
right.
The point,
yeah,
isn't it?
Course.
To enjoy life, to celebrate life. You know, you look around. My kids are 5 and 7, so they're a little bit young. They've not been to a gig yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't taken the gig yet, mainly because they listen to the music I listen to, which is kind of you guys, Bowling for Soup and Metallica, right?
Yeah.
So they're not really interested in that, apart from the Trolls soundtrack.
Okay.
So they haven't kind of got into it yet, but they will. Will. In terms of just taking people to their first gigs, it's such a seminal experience for people. What was your first gig?
My first gig. What's my honest answer here?
You're going to give me the uncool one.
I'll give you my believe it or not, my gran took me to a free concert in George Square in Glasgow. It's kind of the centre part there. With my older sister, and it's her fault that we went to see Boyzone. But there's a bit of a sort of, I mean, years later, I ended up singing on stage with Ronan Keating. So I've got some sort of connection.
Yeah. What song did you sing? Was it?
It
wasn't a Boyzone song.
Lean On Me.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't Roller Coaster or something.
Sharing a microphone with big old Ronan. No.
Good. Well, what about you, Russ? What's Fisky?
My mum took me to see Status Quo at the Exhibition Centre in Glasgow. I think it was two. I know. I think she took me every year. I think she just took me to all the gigs that she wanted to go
to. That's good though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my first. Yeah. First.
I used to tell people my name is Iron Maiden, but in actual fact, if I'm going to be honest with you, right?
I mean, we were so honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you were. So I'm going to be honest. It was the kids from Fame.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So, which was kind of the glee of its day.
Right.
Totally. So that was the Birmingham.
Really, a really cool one then.
Yeah, really good. Yeah.
Really cool.
Now, you won't remember this, okay? But we've met before.
No, I recognise you. I recognise you when I walked in here.
But different context. So I used to work for XFM. I used to do the breakfast show. So when you guys played a gig on our roof, you did an acoustic gig on our roof, and I had to introduce you.
There it is. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's where we met. Which was sponsored by some drink or other that we all enjoyed. I can't remember what it was. That was a couple of years ago we did that.
Uh-huh.
Time's moved on. New singles out. Mm-hmm. So where are we now in the world of Twin Atlantic? You've got gigs coming up. You've got festivals coming up.
Yeah, we're just continuing to just do what we want and be in a band, express ourselves through music, play it live as much as we can. We're on tour just now in the UK. We've got a record out called GLA that we're still beaming with pride over.
Yeah.
And then we've got festivals kind of... We decided to take a couple of years off playing like the big sort of major festivals because it's kind of all we had ever done. We were kind of thrust into this position where we all of a sudden were on the radio and we're playing, you know, the big kind of heavy hitting festivals, and we realised we'd never really had a chance to go around all the sort of more locally grassroots grown festivals, and they sort of more reflect what we're about as people and our entry into music. So this year, with the type of album we've got out, we've kind of, you know, realigned our priorities a little bit, and we're going around all these kind of more local festivals this year.
Yeah, and what's the difference between, I ask this question to musicians, everyone's got a different answer, which is why I kind of like it. In terms of, an arena-sized audience, I suppose, to that sort of grassroots venue, I mean, do you approach it differently as a gig, or do you just sort of go, all right, well, this is what we do?
Yeah.
Or do you have to sort of scale it up and down each time, or...?
Yeah, you do, and I mean, we definitely do think about it, but I think we've landed somewhere on this album where we've found something that we feel like we do well, and we just kind of done that, you know? Maybe we used to think about it more in the past, and now we're just set our stall out a bit more.
I'm probably a different answer to that.
It's musical differences.
Yeah, I play to, like, see if there's 20 people in a room that's supposed to hold 500, I'll play the same, like, way to that as I would to, like, the biggest crowd we've played is like 45,000 or something.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
You did say that, but I mean, I'm more trying to like make fun of myself because I really do it to sometimes an embarrassing level of
see,
let me hear you scream.
20 people go
boo.
Where's Ronan Keating?
Exactly.
So in terms of the summer then and all these gigs, and then do you write while you're on the road? Because a lot of bands, of course, are constantly going, right, we're on the road, but we're working on the new album as we go, or do you sort of leave that to one side and then pick that up afterwards? How do you do it?
We sort of like to kind of vary it up and just react to how much we know or don't know about making an album, and we've got to the point now where we've made, how many have we made, Russ?
Three and a half.
But you know, like, we've got an album, our previous album was called Great Divide, and that was written entirely on the road. None of it was written at home in Glasgow at all. It was either in a venue, a tour bus, or in another city, because we toured America and things like that a lot in that album. Whereas the one that we're kind of beginning to get into just now, we've set up a little kind of recording studio, and we're just coming at it a completely different angle. Because you've got to evolve and kind of grow in anything you do, really, especially music, or you just kind of stagnate a little bit. It gets boring.
And what I do like about you, though, is that you sound Scottish when you right. perform. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there are Scottish bands that sort of don't.
I definitely do. People tell me all the time.
And it's such a distinctive sound as well. That's Twin Atlantic. You know, that's
good to know.
But I like that you kind of wear that proudly. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, we've started to find this sort of place for our band that we represent. This thing where it's okay to be proud of like where you're from, who you are, or maybe like, do you know what I mean? Because when we started out the band, everyone told me not to do that, and I still get told by a lot of people to calm it down,
dial it in.
Yeah. Or, oh man, you guys would be like 100 times bigger if you just like mid-Atlantic kind of twanged that a little bit.
You can't mid-Atlantic a twin Atlantic.
No, you can't. It's no. You're either one side or the other.
So that's what we're doing on our new album. We've decided
it's high time. Once and for all.
You should try a range of accents.
Yeah.
Do you do any other accents?
I can do a few, but
try Brummy or something.
Birmingham. Not very good.
Just so
I do know. Yeah. I know how to do them, but not under pressure with the red lights on.
Yeah.
But I know it's. I mean, we're just we're still coming from the school of you're not a real rock band if you don't kind of evolve and change, but at the same time stick to your roots. And that's the real tricky balance that separates the sort of great from the good. Do you know what I mean? We've still got kind of lofty drive and ambition to, you know, achieve greatness.
Yeah.
But that's something that keeps driving us, I guess.
New single out, Whispers.
Right.
As well. You can. It's online. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes, of course. Latest album, GLA. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in. That was an interesting insight as well. Because what is a difficult day? Let's be honest.
Yeah, very difficult
for all of us to be dealing with. But do you tend to, on a final note with it, really? Tonight at the gig, is it the sort of thing you will reference? I don't know. You may even not have thought about this yet, so I might just be putting you on the spot. I don't know, and dedicate a song, that kind of thing, because it seems like the right thing to do.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I mean, it depends. It depends what song. I'd feel like it would be a bit selfish to not reference it and sort of because the people that are coming to the gig as well, ultimately, we're all just people. It'll all be in the back of our heads,
or the front, because it's been
kind of a. Obviously thrust into the limelight today.
And gig-going, the gig-going community, if you like, we heard a lot about community today and the community of Manchester and so on and so forth. But people who go to gigs, that is a community. So totally. Anyone who's ever been to a gig, which is most of us, will feel an affiliation with
that. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's Ariana Grande or Metallica, like you're saying. Yeah. It's the same
doesn't matter, does
thing.
It? Yeah. Same feeling.
It's just fun.
Yeah. All right, listen, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Cool, man.
Thank you.
Sam and Ross from Twin Atlantic there. New single Whispers is out. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoons. In the next bit of the programme, we are covering, of course, last night's terrible attack. We're going to be talking to a terror expert just about what drives these people to do it, especially with such, as we've just been talking about with the boys here, sort of shocking, deliberate targeting of children. What makes people even consider doing that? In the first place. A lot coming up between now and 4 o'clock. Talk Radio in the afternoons. I'm John Holmes.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
You know the saying, blink and you'll miss it? Well, you could use it for TalkTalk's Fibre Flash sale. Because for a very short time, you can get TalkTalk Fibre, which is 4 times faster than standard ADSL broadband, for just £25 a month, including line rental, for 2 whole years. It's Britain's lowest priced fibre compared to Sky, BT and Virgin over 24 months, saving you up to £535 versus BT. But hurry, the flash sale ends June the 1st. Search TalkTalk Fibre and join now. TalkTalk. For everyone.
Comparison with BT excludes voucher and is based on TalkTalk's faster up to 38 meg and BT's Infinity One up to 52 meg packages. Contract and conditions apply.
Right, that's it. This relationship is over.
Eric.
When I think of the money I spent on you. But it was never enough, was it? There was always something else. What was it you had to have last time?
Eric!
A starter motor?
At Van Monster, every van is covered by our price match promise, our unique 5-day money-back guarantee, and includes a 6-month warranty. Terms and conditions apply. Find your perfect work partner at vanmonster.com.
I'm leaving you for a younger van.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
Berkshire's westbound M4 is still slow because of the recovery of a broken down lorry between junctions 10 and 11 near Reading. A lane's closed there. The northbound M40 near Banbury remains closed, junctions 11 to 12 after an accident. Some repairs are taking place to the barriers there. So there's queues towards the closure and traffic around Banbury is looking very busy. There's congestion on the eastbound M56. The vehicle's broken down just before junction 12 for Runcorn and after the incident at Manchester Arena last night. A number of roads in the centre of Manchester remain closed. Victoria Station is closed as well. I'm Jarena Adams.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Should I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's 21 minutes past 2 o'clock. It is Talk Radio and Victoria's here with some breaking news.
Talk Radio.
That's right, John. So we have just heard that the former James Bond star, Sir Roger Moore, has died. Now, I've got a statement from his family here, and they say that he has died today in Switzerland after a short but brave battle with cancer, and he's going to have a private funeral, which will be held in Monaco. And they say it's with a heavy heart that they have to announce this sad, sad news.
Victoria, thank you very much. And of course, more on that as well as the afternoon wears on, as tributes will doubtless be pouring in for Sir Roger Moore. We are Talk Radio. That's what you're listening to. I'm John Holmes. Normal services, the sort of thing we normally do between 1 and 4, we're not doing today. We've chucked that out because, it's a pretty sad day, of course. ISIS have claimed responsibility for last night's terror attack in Manchester. We are covering that story in a variety of ways. We're just talking to Twin Atlantic there, who aren't cancelling their gig tonight, like a lot of bands have announced that they are doing, because as I think they think they're right as well, and the show must go on in a way. We talk about the continuation of life. We say life must go on in the event of something horrible like this happening. That by cancelling a gig, are you not just falling into the trap of not doing that? It's a tricky situation, but the band they're playing tonight, of course, people dealing with it all in different ways. We're going to be talking next to a terror expert, Professor Anthony Gleese, on the phone here on Talk Radio next.
Talk Radio.
That was a slightly shorter jingle than I was expecting. Anyway, OK, so 20 past three, just gone 20 past three, Professor Anthony Gleese is on the phone now. Hello, Professor.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for joining us. So you're the director of the Centre for Security and Intelligence, University of Birmingham.
Buckingham, yep.
So what, in terms of where we are now, you know, 2 months on from the Westminster terror attack, almost to the day, what are we looking at? This is an escalation, isn't it? Because am I right in thinking that the concentration of the security services after all of the recent attacks have been on these sort of car-based, vehicle-based attacks, knife attacks, and suddenly we're back to a suicide bomb, it appears?
Well, I don't think it's quite as simple as that. I know that's what it may look like. But I think those people who said, as the threat from Al-Qaeda receded, so we could expect fewer bombings, but more knife attacks, truck attacks, as Daesh, the so-called Islamic State, began to inspire terrorists. I never believed that that was necessarily true. Islamists are Islamists, whether they take their orders from one stage from Al-Qaeda or from another stage at so-called Islamic State. We see the so-called Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the outrage in Manchester yesterday. So I think that we're not surprised in some ways that this attack in Manchester has been about explosives, a bomb, it seems, loaded with bolts in order to make it even more lethal. That was to be expected. What I do think is different, though, and very disturbing, is that this was a deliberate attack on children and teenagers. And I think that whereas you could say the attack by Massoud against Parliament was an attack on the beating heart of our democracy, I think an attack on our children is an attack on the whole nation and needs to be responded to in a national way, not a political way.
When you say in a national way, though, I mean, in what sense? Because surely the response to this, by default, has to be political, doesn't it?
Well, policy is part of it, and party politics. This is an election. I have to say, I'm objective about these matters. Theresa May's track record on the delivery of security is a very strong one. And her attitude towards terrorism has been unwavering. The same cannot be said for Jeremy Corbyn, I'm afraid. He's somebody that has caroused with the IRA. He's somebody who thinks that the right way to deal with the Islamist problem is to bring people to the conference table and talk peace. I actually think the national way of dealing with this is now some retaliatory blow against the so-called Islamic State by the RAF in Raqqa or some other stronghold that they have. I think we have to show that killing our children on what should be have been a wonderful day in their lives is something that we, the nation, will not tolerate. And I understand it is difficult for the Prime Minister, particularly in the election period, to order a military strike. But I think this is now called for. I think we absolutely have to take our gloves off. And, you know, I've been one of those who've been saying this for some time. We have to turn up the volume on our security policy. This was an intelligence failure. Yeah, the hours, the days, the months to come, we'll pore over this and try and find out how this man got into the foyer, if that's where it was, of the Manchester Arena. We'll have to find that out.
Yeah.
But it's not acceptable.
In the interest of balance, we should point out, you know, we haven't got anybody giving us Labour's point of view on air. So, you know, we have to bear that in mind. But let's go back to this argument of targeting children, because you're absolutely right. It seems a deliberate act. That is, it's not just any old concert, is it? It's one that is geared up and specifically aimed at children. You know, this is a pop star. I've looked at the tickets to those gigs today. And the tickets say on them, you know, anyone under 14, because that's a lot of the target audience, must be accompanied by an adult at the gig. You know, that's 22 or 21 or 22,000 people in an arena, in a sold out arena. That, you know, we know the high percentage is going to be kids. Is it a different, as you say, it's a raised level? We've not seen this before, have we?
We've not seen this before. We've not seen children targeted this way in modern times. And although I understand the argument that from the Islamist point of view, you know, these are crazy, cracked, brainwashed individuals. The vast majority of Muslims in Britain want nothing to do with them. I understand all of that. But they're brainwashed. They are crazed. They're sadistic. They may even be on drugs. We simply can't tell. To try and take out our children shows that they have reached a level of depravity in the United Kingdom that we have only seen in the so-called Islamic State. And that is absolutely something we can't tolerate, we can't put up with. So my feeling is that, yes, I understand there will be those people who will say to an Islamist, adult, child, makes no difference.
Yeah.
They're all targets. But it's done to us here in Manchester, in our country.
Is it possible, in your opinion, that this, and obviously we learned of arrests in Manchester today as well. There's certainly been at least one. There are reports now that although the perpetrator hasn't been named yet, the police are saying, I think, that he is British and from the UK. That's one of the latest reports that we're getting. Although, as I say, we have no name yet, or ISIS have claimed responsibility. But does an attack like this, as opposed to something just like driving a car into people, lead one to think that this is more of a network? Because does this kind of thing take more planning? Is it possible for an attack of this size to be carried out by just one person?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think most serious commentators don't think so either. For this reason, anybody can go out and get a kitchen knife. Anybody can go and hire a truck. But to make a bomb, you first of all got to get hold of explosives. And that continues to be difficult in this country. I'm told it's less difficult now than it was a few years ago. But it is difficult. And you need a detonator. That is even more difficult. It is even more difficult to get a detonator. And then finally, you need training in how to do it without blowing yourself up. I know this was a suicide bomber, but he wanted to reach his target before killing himself.
Yeah.
So these are difficult things. They would suggest, as in the case of the London bombers in 2005, that there was a network, that were people coming to give training. And again, people may say you can get this off the internet. And to be sure, you can get a lot of this murderous stuff off the internet. And again, it is the Conservative Manifesto. Nobody's talked about this, but Theresa May has said in the Conservative Manifesto, it is time to stop the internet service providers from pushing out this kind of stuff on the internet, even though they're American, not British. It is time to end people like WhatsApp feeling that they can hold two fingers up at the British people and say, no, we're not going to tell you how to decrypt the messages these killers send to each other. So I think, you know, there's some real things that can be done. And if it is a network, in theory, they should be easier to catch than the single person with a kitchen knife or truck. So, you know, it's early days, but I'm paid to do my job, and my job consists in saying we need better security, and that means we will need to ask why there was no intelligence and how somebody who had explosives about his person could get into the Manchester arena in the first place.
All right.
Not blaming people, but maybe blaming mindsets.
Okay, Professor Anthony Gleeson there with his opinions on where we are, how last night came about, the reasons for it. He's the director of the Centre for Security and Intelligence. He's right, though. It's an escalation, certainly. We've not seen, I don't think, what appears to be a deliberately targeted attack on children. And, of course, that makes it all the more emotive, which is why emotions are certainly running high today. After all, children just having a night out at a gig is not the same as an attack against the home of parliamentary democracy, as we saw 2 months ago with the Westminster terror attack. Does it change things? We are talking about the terror attacks on Manchester's arena last night. It's Talk Radio in the afternoon. It's just after 2:30. Victoria's got the latest breaking news now.
Talk Radio.
An 8-year-old girl is among the 22 people killed in a suicide bomb attack at a Manchester pop concert last night. Safi Russo's head teacher has described her as a beautiful little girl. 59 others are being treated in hospitals across Manchester after being injured in the blast, which happened as they left an Ariana Grande gig. The Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, says the city is grieving.
These were children, young people and their families, but those responsible chose to terrorise and kill. This was an evil act.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility. A 23-year-old man has been arrested and police have carried out a raid in Wally Range and one in Fallowfield, where a controlled explosion took place. The Queen has described last night's attack as an act of barbarity. Her Majesty's statement also pays tribute to the professionalism of emergency crews who responded. John Roos is from the Greater Manchester Health and Social Care Partnership. He says hospitals and ambulance crews there have been overwhelmed by offers of support.
People have just not been able to do enough for us. And if you ever wanted to have a sense of one National Health Service, one NHS, everybody working together from frontline staff, staff through to deeply specialist doctors. This has been the night and morning to experience that and everything that makes our NHS special.
David Holgate, the canon at Manchester Cathedral, has been speaking to Talk Radio.
Whilst one has to rise to the public discussion here, there's a deep sadness that 22 young people have lost their lives. Loads more have been injured. And that's hard to process.
A vigil is going to be held in Albert Square in the city this evening to remember the victims. And in other news, Sir Roger Moore has died. The family of the former James Bond star have confirmed his death this morning after a short battle from cancer. He was 89. The weather, sunny spells for many once again this afternoon, highs of 22 degrees. There's more in just under half an hour.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Victoria with us every half an hour, of course, bringing us the latest on the news. We are talking today, obviously, about the attacks last night in Manchester on the arena at the Ariana Grande concert. Normal programming slightly suspended from what we ordinarily do between 1 and 4, so we can talk about this. Next, we're going to be talking to another eyewitness who was at the gig last night. Talk Radio in the afternoons.
Talk Radio.
We got entertainment, and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It was very interesting talking to the band Twin Atlantic earlier, the rock band, of course. They were in around half an hour ago. And just about the perspective of musicians on this and whether or not pulling gigs is the right thing to do. We learned that Take That have pulled their gig in Liverpool tonight as a sign of respect. But all the other talk, of course, is of the show must go on. The people must go on. We must go on. We carry on as normal. That's been the message. But, of course, if we start cancelling gigs and so on, is that right? I mean, are you scared to go to a gig? I mean, if you're going to a gig tonight, are you actually sort of giving it second thoughts even? We're going to take your calls this afternoon. If you want to call in, you can. 03444991000. There's something we don't normally do as well. But if you want to, then you can, because, you know, we're happy to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about, given this horrible turn of events. 03444991000. On the line now is Joe Flinders. Good afternoon, Joe. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So now, thanks for joining us. You're a radio producer. You were at the arena last night when this all went off. What can you tell us, Joe?
You have to forgive me, but just to start, I'm really tired. I'm not really slept since, so I'll give it a shot.
That's fine.
From our perspective, what happened was, as soon as the encore had finished and everybody was leaving the seats to go into the corridors to make their way out of the building, just as, you know, everything was just about saturated with the number of people it could take, we heard an almighty bang and the building shuddered, which was from the other side of the arena from where we were, thankfully.
Yeah.
But after a split second of confusion, frantic parents just have facial expressions of horror, dragging their kids as fast as they could to any exit they could get to. Stewards flooded all the doors open so we could spill out onto the concrete and make our way down the stairs and evacuate.
Was there a sense, Joe, sorry to interrupt you there, but was there a sense of a procedure being followed? Because that's something I haven't heard much about what exactly was happening inside the arena. Because I've heard conflicting reports. One, that there was somebody from Ariana Grande's management company, or their company, came on stage to urge everyone to keep calm. But over him, and to stay where they were for their own safety, and over him, the tannoy of the venue was telling people to evacuate. Is that? Did you get any sense of that?
I wasn't in the room, the main performance room. I was in the corridors when the time the detonation happened.
Right.
So I didn't hear personally.
But did it seem like a sort of a drill being followed?
I will say that the stewards opened the doors for us to get out as quickly as we could.
Okay.
It's a bit of a blur, but I do seem to remember them telling people to not run and walk. But obviously that was just overwhelmed by the sheer volume of people trying to run out of the building. They were just overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah.
There's only so much preparation you can do for crowd management when something like that happens.
Yeah. And what were your, I mean, was it, and I asked this question earlier to somebody because there were conflicting reports coming out, obviously, as the news broke last night. Was it immediately obvious to you what it was?
I mean, we all feared the worst, but you hope for the best. I really wanted it to be something like pyrotechnics, or because there was a lot of balloons in the show, maybe it was a canister of helium, something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a big bang.
Yeah.
It was big. So we didn't realize the thing didn't drop until the police statement was announced on Facebook that there had been casualties.
Yeah.
And the ambulances were flying past us.
And in terms of getting out of the building itself, I mean, you know, what did you see at that point? Was it, you know, what?
So there are a few exits. The two main exits. There's an exit with a lot of, like, a few flights of stairs that you have to get down. That's the exit that we managed to scramble to. Got down the stairs unhindered because we were quite close to the front. You know, we made a beeline for the exit already because I felt like I'm stuck in crowds as it is.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of people falling over and you know, every man for themselves mentality. Like, there were people being picked up along the way, but in the first instance, people were just darting to get away. And then the other main exit is where the detonation happened. And I don't know if you're familiar, but one of Manchester City Centre's main train stations, Victoria Station, is attached to the arena.
Yeah.
And they're attached by this sort of foyer room where there's a McDonald's. And that is the main exit that a lot of people go through. And that's where the bomb was detonated, I believe, which is why there was... It wasn't a case of they'd not checked his bag. He wasn't officially in the premises of the arena, which is why he'd not had his bag checked.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, what we've been learning this afternoon as well. It's all very well, isn't it, having as much security as you want for people going into the arena. But the foyer, you know, we've all been to gigs where there's security, but you have to get into the foyer in order to get to the security. So if you're targeting people coming out, the foyer is where they're going to be, isn't it?
Mm. I really can't fathom somebody who would... a target to kill anybody, but especially children. I can't.
We're all struggling.
So numb.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Joe. We're all struggling with it today. I mean, I've got, you know, my kids are 7 and 5, and you know, a lot of parents listening to this as well will be thinking the same. You know, you just have to hope they're safe, and there's nothing you can do about it. But then, you know, and you worry about kids, especially kids, of course, being caught up in this stuff. But to learn that they're being deliberately targeted just takes it to a whole new level. And as humans, Joe, you know, just as human beings ourselves, it, you know, you, how do you even begin to process that?
Because it's just sickening.
Yeah,
I don't think I'll ever be able to fathom it. This is something that I don't think I'll ever get over, and I'm just a witness. You know, my thoughts really are with anybody and anybody who is affected by this.
Joe Flinders there talking to us on the phone from Manchester. He was at the gig last night, other side of the arena. But as he rightly said, you know, this is kind of, as much as it affects people who were directly involved, it affects all of us because it's targeting children. And, you know, we are, as human beings, innately programmed to protect children. So... What are we supposed to do when we can't, when they're being deliberately targeted? Let's talk radio in the afternoons. If you do want to get in touch with us, 87222 is the number. You can start your message with the word talk. You can use Twitter at Talk Radio, or if you want to call us this afternoon, because why the hell not, 0344 499 1000. It's Talk Radio. I'm John Holmes.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops it feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag precious stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause it's just ain't enough.
As a business looking to hire, where do you look for greatness? Just because you've no time, should you have to settle for the best of a limited choice? With more candidates looking for their next job than any other job site, Indeed.com is where your search for greatness begins and ends. Post your job on the UK's number one job site and start your search for greatness today on Indeed.com. Terms, conditions and quality standards apply. UK's number one job site based on total unique visitors to Indeed.com, according to Comscore.
And now the latest traffic news. There are widespread reports of camels, yes, camels, on roads right across the region. But no hold-ups. Once those camels fill up, they keep going. Like when you fill up with BP Ultimate with active technology. It removes dirt to help your engine perform at its best, so you can keep moving. And finally, reports of more camels on the ring road. Keep moving with BP Ultimate. Green lights all the way.
Benefits achieved over time and may vary due to factors including vehicle type, condition and driving style. See bp.com/ultimate.
Hi, my suitcase hasn't arrived. I've been waiting ages.
Let's check the system. Was it a direct flight?
Connecting. I stopped in Bangkok.
And before that?
Well, the Maldives, yes. And Dubai, okay. Barbados, Koh Samui. Oh, and that amazing volcano in Bali.
Nicer problems to have. This Tuesday, there's a £99 million EuroMillions jackpot. And you can also win the best of Japan. And £1 million cash. Get your tickets for Tuesday's event. EuroMillions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
TradePoint, we offer bulk delivery from stock, from store to site. And if you order before 4 p.m, you'll get your order the next day. Plus, spend over £200 ex-VAT and your delivery will be free. TradePoint. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only. TradePoint!
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
The M40 stays closed northbound near Banbury, junctions 11 to 12 following an accident in the early hours of this morning. There's queues on the eastbound A14 away from Catthorpe and the M6 towards junction 1 for Welford. One lane's closed because of an accident. A broken down vehicle's causing delays on the M56 in Cheshire. This is east around junction 12 for Runcorn. Swansea's eastbound M4 has been slowed down by a similar problem around junction 45. And following the incident at Manchester Arena last night, many of the local roads around the centre of Manchester remain closed. Victoria Station is closed as well. I'm Jarena Adams.
You can talk loads on the internet. I talk to my friends all the time, even like 5 or 7 at once. I can talk to my older brother at uni. I can even talk with people I've never heard of, like BubbleBob77, who wants to hang out. Shall I tell him where I live?
When your kids have questions about the internet, make sure it's you they turn to. Regular chats together will help you keep them safe. For help and advice from O2 and NSPCC, search Share Aware.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio, and our job is to bring you the news and hear your views on the news. We are live from Manchester on the next Full Set Breakfast for the very latest.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good afternoon. If you're just joining us, we have suspended normal programming from what we normally do between 1 and 4 on a weekday on Talk Radio because we are talking, of course, about the terrible events in Manchester last night at the Ariana Grande concert. Just before the break there, we heard from Joe, and you could hear it visibly. That doesn't make any sense. You could hear it in his voice. That he was certainly affected by that. I mean, he admitted that he had very little sleep last night and was very tired. But you could hear it that you know he was affected by it, and he was on the other side of the arena and didn't lose anyone personally, but you know was there. And we've been talking to witnesses, people that were there all morning, all afternoon on Talk Radio. Let's hear again from Charlotte, who was leaving the car park at the time of the attack.
We got in our car. We think we was on level 5. We managed to get down quickly onto, I think it was level 3, where we just saw bodies in the corner on just laying on the floor with people around them. All you want to do is get out and help. But you know the emergency services were there. They were amazing. They got there so fast. I'd say within 10, 15 minutes. A woman was running towards our car. We was just on, I think it was floor 3, and her car was parked, and there was a young girl sat in the driver's seat, and my dad shouted, "Are you all right?" And she just had blood streaming down the side of her face, and she didn't really say much. She just basically said she didn't know what had happened, and people were just telling people to get out. There was the car park stewards in the car park just... they were just in panic, just trying to get cars out as quick as they could. I don't know how there wasn't accidents in the car park, but do you know what? That doesn't even matter. When we got to the exit, right to the front, there's traffic lights, so we were pretty much sat at a red light, and just in front were just swarms of people just running in front of us. You just saw kids without clothes on, with clothes on, but without coats on, just stood there in shock, crying. There was ambulances at the front, people laid on the front, people limping. Oh, it was just awful, awful. And we didn't even know where we were going. We just needed to get out of there. There was just emergency services everywhere. It was just so fast. Everything just happened so fast.
Greater Manchester Police have set up an emergency helpline for concerned relatives and friends. Here's the number, 0161 856 9400, 0161 856 9400. Now, a lot of what happened last night, and this started around about 10:30. I mean, I was sort of nodding off to sleep and when the news started to break, really. And one of the first images that came out of this attack last night was that of some doors to a seeming concert venue open with some bodies lying on the other side of the doors. And it didn't take very long for people to go, OK, that is an image from a training video from some time ago, not a picture of Manchester. Please stop retweeting before we know what is actually going on. And that was just the beginning of it, of course. What you get when this sort of thing happens are people who will post pictures saying, my friend is missing, my family member is missing. And these are pictures of strangers. They haven't got friends and family members missing at all. They just want to feel involved. And you get a lot of this, a lot of fakery. There were reports of a gunman outside Oldham Hospital just moments after the blast. That was breaking news. That was picked up by the Daily Express. Turned out not to be true at all. This was just stuff people were putting on Twitter. People making up fake missing friends, as I say, to generate retweets for themselves on Twitter. Why do they do that? Dr. Arthur Cassidy is a social media psychologist and broadcaster. He's on the telephone. Hello, Dr. Arthur Cassidy.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. Why do people do this? I mean, this happened during the Westminster attacks. This happened before. We saw a lot of it last night as the story was unfolding. People just putting pictures up of strangers saying, here's my missing friend. Why do people do it?
Well, we do know from psychological research that the main reason why they do this is simply because of self-gratification. People do tend, especially younger adults, younger and later adolescents, you know, people in that stage of early and later adolescence do tend to enter into a form of competition when there's a tragedy, especially one concerning a celebrity. So they compete with each other for having most grotesque images put online, a form of self-gratification and certainly voyeurism.
But in terms of driving, I mean, it makes me wonder what these people did before social media, in a way, because if this is a trait, if this is a sort of narcissistic idealism that people have to be involved in something, and now it's all very easy to do by just picking random pictures off the internet. I mean, I've got another one here. There's a, my son was in the Manchester arena today. He's not picking up my call. Please help. This picture, purporting to be from a parent searching for a son, attracted 14,000 retweets on Twitter, hundreds of replies offering advice. It was simply a picture of a YouTube user who posts under a name. They just grabbed his picture and they'd put that online. To what end? I mean, you know, what kind of person, in terms of psychologically speaking, you know, wants to do it?
There are people who we do know have certainly pretty strong, intrinsic, basic desires that would be associated with narcissistic personality traits. So there would be, you would be quite right in saying that narcissism can lie pretty latent in one's personality overall structure, but can come and surface, especially at times like this when we get a human tragedy of such catastrophic sort of ends. And so people will then to come along and take the most grotesque images and retweet them, because it does draw attention to themselves and they feel good, because it tends to increase their sense of self-importance online.
And is there anything we can do about it? I mean, how big a problem is it? Is it a sense we should just ignore this and call it out when it happens? Because obviously there are now people who are dedicating themselves to working out these fakes and so on. I mean, you know, how dangerous is it?
It can be extremely dangerous from the point of view that many people that we've interviewed over the years in terms of social media exploitation, you know, we would agree and say, yes, we are aware of the Miscommunication Act and we are aware of the Defamation Act, but it doesn't seem to prevent them in any way. They do tend to have an underlying motive of wanting to compete with others for the most grotesque images that they can put online, and especially in terms of human tragedy. Right, and contrast, we do find amazing examples examples in this horrific tragedy of pro-social behaviour, where people are actually crossing all cultures and barriers to help the injured and the bereaved. And that is something which is worthy of publication and social media. But we do have to turn to the Facebook giants and all others who are doing very little, really, to in terms of moderation. I was just reading recently in today's media that something like one media for something like 431,000 people, you know, that is absolutely inadequate. What we do need are independent organisations who are very, very strong on efficacy, who are effective, who can deliver in terms of moderation, and where we can meet Ofcom's regulations and comply and say enough is enough. We are not going to endorse any form of the treating of images which are seen to be highly destructive and totally invalid.
Right. Okay. And it does. I mean, it gives you an insight, doesn't it, into sort of where we are. In fact, that you know, you work in social media psychology. It seems that, you know, with the explosion of social media, no pun intended there, it's almost like people with these traits gravitate towards social media as an outlet.
Yes, they do. Simply because of this inhibition effect, is what we call it. People online lose all their inhibitions, and so. And particularly because of the anonymity where trolls are concerned, which is another aspect of this as well, where people will troll those who are injured. And I've seen this happening time and time again in human tragedies in Northern Ireland and in England and in other parts of Europe, where people will begin to troll quite often, very immediately, within the first half hour of a major human tragedy like this. And so what we do have to do is to take more responsibility and say to the media giants, look, enough is enough. We're not prepared to accept this anymore. Children are now becoming to be psychologically affected by what they do see online. We have to bear in mind that we have a social responsibility besides a moral responsibility to say, look, these children can become traumatized by these images and images that they have no particularly desire to see. And children are now at 8 and 9 years of age beginning to say to psychologists in many hospitals and other agencies throughout the UK and Scotland as well, they're beginning to say, look, we're very disturbed by what we see. We're children. We're growing up. We don't want to see these. They're very disturbing. And they are aware, by the way, of the anxiety and the chronic and acute anxiety that can be as a consequence of viewing these. And what we have said to people is, look, these are very rare events. Broadcasting is a high level of skill which is there to really ensure that very rare stories, which can be disturbing, are seen just as that. They're one-off stories. And to get children and young people to focus on the good of what they see, you know, not on the human tragedy, but to focus on other events in their lives, to turn to teachers and parents and counsellors and say, look, I'd like to talk through this because I've seen so many of these images. Children don't know. They don't have the capacity to discriminate, to know whether an online bit of photography or an Instagram or whatever, or on Twitter or whatever, whether it is valid or not.
Yeah.
And so many don't have a part of discrimination, but they will go in tears. I've seen them in my own charity, for example, coming in to do this and saying, look, we're very disturbed by this. It affects our concentration, our academic progress. And so we do have that responsibility to say, as a government, look, we're not prepared to accept this anymore. Enough is enough. We've had so much positive coverage about social media, and we have to keep it positive. And we have to see social media for what is good in all of this. And at the same time, Facebook and other media giants do have our responsibility to comply to government legislation and say we are prepared to take our stand and filter out all of this.
Okay, we're starting to lose you there a bit with the signal. But that's Dr. Arthur Cassidy there. He's a social media psychologist. And the fact that we need a social media psychologist these days probably tells you more than you need to know. It just only makes you just want to go and put your head under a cushion and long for the old days when we just write letters to each other. Anyway, in the next bit of the programme, Sir Roger Moore has died. We brought you that breaking news earlier. We will be hearing one of his final interviews. We've got a clip of him talking to Paul Ross on the Full Set Breakfast programme not so long ago about his show An Evening with Roger Moore. And we're going to reflect a little bit on the life of Roger Moore as well. I work with him in Switzerland. He lives in Switzerland, of course. I was out there doing a gig at one point, and with Sir Roger Moore on stage, and you know, a nicer man could you never wish to meet. But look, we're going to be talking a little bit about him. We're going to be bringing you more, of course, on the terrible events in Manchester last night. Particularly, how do you explain this to children? How on earth do you explain this? I've got kids, 5 and 7, and I don't know where to start, really, by you know, just telling them about the events of last night, which they will have heard about at school. They'll be full of questions, but, you know, how on earth do you tell them about kids being targeted? I don't know. We're going to be talking to a child psychologist to get any help we can, frankly. Talk Radio in the afternoons. Victoria's going to have the main news next. It's coming up at 3 o'clock.
Talk Radio.
We've got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Skeletor got £125 cash back at Money's supermarket, and now he feels like the world's his theatre. So, baby, remember his name! Get £125 cash back when you switch your current account to First Direct Bank. Another exclusive deal from Money Supermarket. Offer ends July 3rd. For the offer, switch via Money Supermarket using the current account switch service and deposit £1,000 within 3 months of the account opening. New First Direct customers only. See Money Supermarket for full T's and C's.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status, £20 setup, Sky Q loaned at no cost, minimum contract and terms apply.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
My thing? My abs. They're big on Instagram. Well, they were until I dropped a dumbbell on my phone. Anyway, I need a replacement. 12 megapixel camera for maximum muscle definition. But my budget is lower than my body fat ratio. So, you know what? It's got to be refurb.
Russell's thing. It's clearly a refurbished smartphone from eBay. That's as good as new with 12-month seller warranty. Buy refurbished tech on eBay and save up to 50% versus new. eBay. Find your thing.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
At 3 o'clock, good afternoon. I'm John Holmes. Here's Victoria with the latest news.
Thanks, John. Coming up, IS claims responsibility for Manchester attack. Children are among the dead. And in other news, Sir Roger Moore has died.
Talk Radio.
Theresa May has called last night's suicide bombing in Manchester one of the worst terror attacks the UK has ever faced. An 8-year-old girl and a teenager are among the 22 people killed and 59 others injured in the attack, which took place as thousands of people were leaving a pop concert. Joe Flinders has told Talk Radio he heard the explosion.
We heard an almighty bang. The building shuddered. After a split second of confusion, frantic parents, just the facial expressions of horror, dragging their kids as fast as they could to any exit they could get to.
The Islamic State group has claimed it was behind the bombing. The Prime Minister has praised the response of those called in to help.
For as so often while we experienced the worst of humanity in Manchester last night, we also saw the best. The cowardice of the attacker met the bravery of the emergency services and the people of Manchester. The attempt to divide us met countless acts of kindness that brought people closer together.
Jordan Stevenson has told Talk Radio he ignored police advice not to go near the arena so he could give lifts to stranded teenagers.
I was just thinking about these two 17-year-old girls and seeing parents tweet me saying, can you go and get them? So it was a bit of a bit scary on my way into Manchester on the M62, just thinking, what am I actually doing? But in the end, I just got in and it was pretty quiet and eerie when I did get into the city centre.
A 23-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the attack. Police have carried out raids and a controlled explosion has taken place in the Fallowfield part of the city. Terror expert Professor Anthony Glees has told John, targeting children shows a new level of extremism. terrorism.
They have reached a level of depravity in the United Kingdom that we have only seen in the so-called Islamic State. And that is absolutely something we can't tolerate, we can't put up with.
Manchester United have held a minute's silence ahead of training for their Europa League final tomorrow night. There'll also be one at the Cannes Film Festival to honour the victims. And in other news, former James Bond star Sir Roger Moore has died at the age of 89. His family have confirmed his death in Switzerland this morning following a short battle with cancer.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Sunny for many this afternoon, highs of 22 degrees.
Thank you very much indeed. Victoria there with the news. She's with us every half an hour, bringing us the latest, of course, on those attacks in Manchester that we're talking about this afternoon. We're going to be carrying on in the next hour with... we've got some stuff about Sir Roger Moore, of course, who you've been hearing sadly died as well. In the next hour, and before that, Pete Abbott's got the pre-recorded sport.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Pete Abbott. Manchester United will travel to Stockholm today ahead of tomorrow's Europa League final against Ajax. A win would give United a second trophy this season, as well as qualifying them for the Champions League. It's understood Leicester have begun talks with Craig Shakespeare about staying on as manager. He was given the job until the end of the season, following Claudio Ranieri's sacking in February. The negotiations started for him to stay on as boss. Shakespeare still has a year remaining on his assistant manager contract. Norwich are reportedly close to appointing Borussia Dortmund's reserve team boss Daniel Farke as their new head coach. It's understood the German will sign a two-year contract to take control of the Skybet Championship side. British and Irish Lions rugby union captain Sam Warburton says he's completely over his knee injury and will be ready to lead the squad on their tour of New Zealand. The Wales flanker hasn't featured since picking up the injury while playing for Cardiff Blues in early April. And in tennis, Petra Kvitova is on track to play at Wimbledon 6.5 months after needing hand surgery following a knife attack. The two-time champion spokesperson says she's now recovered and could even feature at next week's French Open. That's the latest sports news powered by Talk Sport.
Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So it is Talk Radio in the afternoon. It's 3:05. Sir Roger Moore has died. He was 89 years old. He spoke to Paul Ross back in October about his show An Evening with Roger Moore. And Paul was asking him, advice that Noel Coward gave Roger about acting early on in his career.
But also somebody who's lived a bit of a life, has met pretty much everybody who's anybody, and they've met you in the world of show business. And I was rereading your autobiography last night, My Word Is My Bond. And I was particularly struck by some very early advice you got from Noel Coward about being an actor, which you kind of adhered to through your career, didn't you?
Yes, I did, with the cutting of the hair. One of the things he told me, for every inch of your life, every year of your life, cut an inch of your hair off. Well, nature has done it for me.
Although you went from The Persuaders to being Bond, and as Brett Sinclair, you had the longer hair, and then in Live and Let Die, suddenly there you are, the most dapper James Bond we'd ever seen.
And with hardly any hair, and starving. Cubby Broccoli and Harry have decided I would do Bond, and then having decided I would do it, they decided I was a little overweight. So I had to take off weight, then my hair was a little too long and I had to cut hair, so I started cutting bits of hair and losing weight and exercising like mad. And I eventually said, why didn't you just get a thin, bald-headed man to start with?
A skinny version of Kojak, maybe.
Yeah.
So when you started your career, quite soon after you began, you made the appointment of an actor, then National Service arrives. What was that like for you, Sir Roger, being in the army?
I loved it. I really didn't want to go, sort of be an actor laddie. I arrived sort of with their long hair and yellow eyes because I had jaundice when they caught me.
Yeah.
And within sort of days, I was loving it. And I was very lucky, I was commissioned because I spoke posh because I'd been a rada.
And you had the manner, a very erect posture, I'd imagine.
Yeah, leadership.
And Brian Forbes, in his autobiography, great director, actor, he said that when he first met you, you had the most elegantly cut kind of uniform he'd ever seen. I didn't realise till rereading your book, you'd actually had to pay for that yourself, hadn't you?
You have to pay for everything in life, I've noticed. Brian was Sergeant Major my unit in CSE, which was Combined Services Entertainment. We were a bunch of actors in stationed in Hamburg, put on plays, shows, reviews, and had a wonderful time. So I enjoyed the army. I was made acting captain before I left. Lovely uniform. Kay Kendall saw me wearing a service dress with my buttons always shining and shiny boots. And she nicknamed me the Duchess.
I can only think of Sir Roger Moore in a safari suit. That's the only way that I can identify with Sir Roger Moore. I once saw him, as I was just saying before the news, I was doing, I can't remember what it was, something in Switzerland. I was doing a gig in Switzerland for something, and Sir Roger Moore was also there on the bill, and so I got to meet him and everything else. And even though it was black tie, and he was dressed in a black tie in that sort of James Bond black tie sort of a way, all I could do while looking at him and talking to him was picture him in a pale safari suit, because that's the Roger Moore way. Toby Earle's on the phone. He's a TV critic, among other things. Hello, Toby.
Afternoon, John.
So, Roger Moore then. I mean, you know, a lot of people talking about him this afternoon for obvious reasons. 89 years old. Was he your James Bond?
Yeah, absolutely. He was. He was the first Bond I saw and fell in love with him because, of course, when he was inhabiting the role, there was a slightly lighter touch to the role. And that was because, really, what they wanted to do on Productions was to utilise his talents to fit the role best. And so they moved away from some of Connery's sort of mannerisms and language to accommodate Moore's suave, debonair character, but someone who also is capable of a lighter, sort of more comical touch, who would bring a little bit something different to that particular role.
They had to do that, didn't they, as well? They had to, because...
Because
Connery had been Connery, and you can't try and emulate that, so they just went the other way. Yeah.
This is exactly it. And I think you have to say it is a testament to his ability that he took on probably the biggest film role in the world, and certainly one that people were, I mean, as they are today, so devoted to. He took that and made it his own. And people do not, I don't think, really seriously compare the two in the same way, and I think that the people think of Bond, they will think of Moore as they will think of Connery, and he, you know, he held the role for the longest period of time as well. I mean, it was a 12-year stint, 7 films, and I mean, he was in his sort of big 50s when he finally left the role. But I mean, you know, I think people of my generation and for whom he was their first Bond, I cannot picture the Bond series without him in that. It's inconceivable to think that he couldn't have played that character.
I used to like him in Return of the Saint as well. Do you remember that?
Sure.
When he played Simon. It wasn't the Return of the Saint. It was the Saint, and then Return of the Saint came back. I remember seeing Return of the Saint and then went back to watch The Saint with him in it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, there's a point of comparison. You have The Saint, Leslie Charteris' character, Simon Templar, and then that was really successful, you know, for more, not just in this country, outside of this country as well. Return of the Saint comes back, Ian Ogilvy. But he didn't hit the notes for people because Moore had made that character his own. Yeah. And I think so when it then came to Bond and Dalton came in, people were still, as of course they're going to do, compare. The fact that he held that role for such a long time is a testament to his ability as an actor. And I think people would sort of say, it's easy, you're Bond, you go on there. He had to hold that screen for the 2-odd hours every single time. Be believable, connect with the audience, deliver those lines, hit his marks. And he did that every single time.
And famously, he could hold that screen with just his eyebrows as well.
And here's the great, I think one of the great things about the guy is that he was an actor so at ease with himself and his ability that he sent himself up something rotten in the Cannonball Run. I don't know if you've ever seen
I love
Cannonball
that
Run.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
He's meant to be this Jewish guy, this Jewish millionaire, and he plays him, and he looks exactly like Roger Moore, and he is obsessed with Roger Moore, and he plays himself up so rotten, and of course, you know, and a spitting image memorably as well, mopped his eyebrow raise. But that is a trademark. Actors would kill for something like that. You know, they would have to, they would love to have something as memorable as that on their CV.
Yeah, and he it's one of those things where you just think he's, you know, he's been around so much, he's so familiar to us.
When
something like this happens, you usually go, oh God, look how much he actually did, Roger Moore. And yes. There was a film called North Sea Hijack. Do you remember that?
Yes, he wore a vermilion wetsuit.
That's right.
He was trying to James Mason and some terrorists had taken over an oil rig. And I think the joke was in the film that he ended up having a vermilion wetsuit and trying to raid it at night. He played, oh God, the guy had an extraordinarily exotic name. This guy who'd do the Times crossword in about 2 minutes. And he was sort of like, I think probably what Bond in some ways, Fleming probably would have wanted him to be. I'm sure Fleming didn't mind what they did on screen, but he was a more serious character in that. But yes, I mean, he has a large range of films that are not as venerated as the ones which he's remembered for, those big popcorn numbers, something like The Man Who Haunted Himself, which was, I think, 1970, yeah. a psychological horror film, well worth checking out. And it's also should be, you know, we should actually point out here as well that he was a UNICEF ambassador for 26 years and did a vast amount of charity work for UNICEF, which led to his knighthood. So this is someone who had done very well in film and then also decided to devote a massive amount of time back to charity. And he does actually have one of the great contract stipulations in Hollywood folklore, which was an unlimited supply of Monte Cristos when he was filming Bond. I mean, he got through quite a few of those. And that's another thing that marks him out from Connery. Connery smoked fags and he had a cigar. It's just those little things just to move people away from what they'd watched beforehand.
I'm the same with my rider here. Listen, Toby, Toby Earle, at Toby on TV, if you want to follow him on Twitter. Thanks for joining us there. Roger Moore has died aged 89. That's the other breaking news this afternoon. We are, of course, bringing you coverage as well of last night's terrible attack in Manchester. We spoke to a rock band earlier. We spoke to Twin Atlantic about an hour ago, if you were listening. Sam and Ross from Twin Atlantic were in, talking about it from a musician's perspective and how numb it's made them feel. They are going ahead with their show tonight. Their opinion is the show must go on. And we'll sort of deal with it with their audience on stage. We've been talking a lot about the security of the event as well. People on the ground, people who were at the gig last night, talking about the security and whether or not there could have been more, whether or not it could have been prevented. The smart money says no, because this guy was in the foyer, not even anywhere near the security after the gig itself. But let's find out a little bit more about how it works. David McAtamney, is that right, David? Am I getting that right, David?
That is correct. You're doing very well.
Thank you very much. You're the managing director of Stadium TM. 23 years experience in event security, which is what we're talking about. So from what we learn, and I imagine you've been looking into this quite a lot today yourself, this was something that happened, couldn't have been prevented by standard gig security because it happened before the security cordons.
That's correct. But we do have experience of what we call last mile stewarding, which we formed along with other companies for the London Olympics. And basically, in simple layman terms, it was a soft security cordon away from the stadium, away from the arena, to do visible checks, see whether there was anything out of the ordinary. And then as you got closer to the venue, the stricter security came in and the pat-downs, et cetera.
Yeah.
So it is an increasing problem. We are fortunate in as much as for our clients, we also look after their management of the traffic management and other areas, car parks and things.
Yeah.
So we have big teams further away from main stadium and arenas. So we build that into our planning for any events that we're involved. So there is two types of security, if you like, the arena itself and the security. But I think more importantly now, we've got to look at, you know, security further away. And I know politically that is a hot potato.
Yeah, it is. And it's also, again, you know, you can move the cordon or the security as far as you can. But at the end of the day, at a big event like that, 22,000 people, I think, in Manchester last night at that gig, you know, once they start leaving the venue, Yes. It becomes more out of your control as you go, doesn't it? And it's a case, if you push your security back, then these attacks can happen, you know, at the tube station, right, or whatever.
And especially the very nature, from what I understand, you know, this venue obviously was packed with young people, and it's obvious that parents and grandparents were coming to collect their children. So it has a totally different dynamic to an adult concert.
Yeah, yeah. And we're talking a lot about this as well, about the fact that the cynicism of deliberately targeting a pop concert that's aimed at children is a new one on us, this, isn't it?
It is. But what we really have to understand, because I'm involved with the counterterrorism authorities on a regular basis, we are in a state of war with these people. Yeah. What they're trying to do is take away what it means to live in a democracy. Our music, our sport, our national events, they're very much part of our lives and should be. And also, it's a very powerful expression of our shared democracy, because all these events, music, sport, they bring people together, people from different cultures. That's what we're about. We're sharing values. We're sharing the values of being human, about being superhuman for athletes and singers. And that's what they want to attack.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And in terms of what you can, I mean, we've talked about this before. Hey, we talked about it when the Westminster thing happened, for heaven's sake. You can't prevent it all. You can only do the best you can, right?
Absolutely right. And of course, it starts with the people that work within the stadium, making sure they're vetted correctly, that all the checks are done. We have invited NATSCO, which is the National Counterterrorism Security Office, who are fantastic guys. They'll come into a company, they'll advise you, they'll give your guys training and what to look out for. We've had two separate sessions with these guys. One was a documentation awareness. Again, one of my beefs is the fact that a lot of these people are going to be returning from war zones who are British. We've got to be on our guard to make sure that these people do not come in inside our stadiums and our grounds, and we do the correct checks. Yeah. That can only be done if you're aware of the issues, aware of the false documentation that these guys have.
So in terms of last night, and I realise you can't talk specifics at all,
no.
What we've got is a situation, of course, whereby it's going to be busy, there's going to be parents collecting children, as you say. This guy, and we don't know the name yet, and fair enough, we don't know the exact circumstances, but from what we do know, he's wearing a suicide vest, or a suicide belt, I suppose. That's going to be under a big coat. You know, that's not necessarily detectable by your average steward in a high-vis jacket standing by a fire exit, is it?
Not at all. And again, he'll be mingling in because of his intent, along with families there. And it'd be incredibly difficult to spot one individual like that. Again, when I looked at the Paris, one of the only successes, if you want to call it success, I don't like to use that term, was the security guide that prevented a terrorist getting into the Stade de France because something looked incorrect. That is through human intuition and training. It's incredibly difficult, and I'm certainly not criticising anyone. We don't know the facts. They will come out, obviously, in time. But they know what they're doing. They know what they're targeting. I'm sure they've been looking at this venue for a little while. And as you say, they've targeted young people, vulnerable people. So it is incredibly difficult. But again, what we can do is make sure that all our planning, all our training is focused on what we're trying to achieve here. And the more eyes you have, the more awareness you have. And that includes everyone that going to a concert. If something doesn't look right, it generally isn't right. I know it's very easy to say, but when you are looking at these areas, and I have, I've traveled in the Middle East and did some work there, you get a sixth sense when something is not right.
Yeah.
But that's easy to say. It's very, very difficult to achieve all the time on the ground.
All right, listen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. David McAtamney, he is the Managing Director of Stadium TM, 23 years experience in event security. And of course, it changes. It'll change again. The events of last night will change the way you go into a gig. There is no doubt about that. We see it at airports. We're now going to see it at gigs as well. They should go on. Twin Atlantic, really, the band, they're doing their gig tonight. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Certainly to ticket sales as well. Especially these pop concerts aimed at young kids, you know, will parents still be happy to let their kids go to these big gigs? Is it going to affect the music industry in that way? It's all Kind of interesting, the knock-on effects. Anyway, time is running on. We must take traffic and travel. But after that, how do you explain this to your kids? I don't know the answer to that. I've got kids. I will have to explain this to them because they will have heard about it at school. But I don't know the best way to do it. But Dr. Pam Spurr might, and she's going to be joining us to talk us through it after the traffic and travel, which is coming now on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
The Europa League final, live tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Sport. Manchester United have the Champions League in their grasp as they face Ajax in Stockholm.
Rashford, decent ball to the far side, Fellaini! Manchester United, a big goal!
Full uninterrupted commentary from kickoff at 7.45. The Europa League final, live tomorrow night from 7 on DAB Digital Radio, online and on 1089 and 1053 AM. Talk Sport.
Imagine this. It's time to change your car. Someone offers to buy it. Great, but only if you buy your new car from them. Ugh. Which means you don't have the freedom to shop around for a better deal. Well, that's what happens when you trade your car in. So why not try selling to WeBuyAnyCar.com? Then you'll be a cash buyer, all footloose and fancy-free, off to try and get a better deal on your next car. Imagine that. Enter your reg number now at WeBuyAnyCar.com. Terms and conditions apply. See WeBuyAnyCar.com/info.
Spring collection sofas are up to half price at DFS. But you better be quick because savings on selected sofas end bank holiday Monday. DFS.
Hey, I'm Lee Reedy. This song's about Oasis drinks.
I'm selling out, singing this song. Your liquid loving stops it feeling wrong. I sold my soul to the marketing team. But the money's good and the Oasis drinks are free. Oasis, it's hashtag fresh stuff. Oasis, buy a bottle cause the just ain't enough.
Get closer to sporting history with a new Southview season ticket from Club Wembley, offering seats at Wembley Stadium for some of the biggest sports and entertainment events, including the England men's international matches, the Emirates FA Cup, plus music concerts, NFL and boxing. Prices start from £999, T's and C's apply. Purchase your season ticket by 5pm on Thursday the 25th of May and get your Emirates FA Cup final ticket included for an extra £120, subject to availability. Visit clubwembley.com for more information.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
In Lancashire, we do have stationary traffic due to a rolling roadblock on a horse on the road. That's on the M6 northbound. That's between junction 32 and junction 33. All traffic there is currently held. In Cheshire, we have one lane closed and slow traffic. That's due to a tyre on the road and a broken down vehicle. That's on the M56 heading eastbound. That's before junction 12 for Runcorn and congestion all the way back to junction 14 for Hampstead. And in Manchester, a number of local roads do remain closed. That's following the events of last night. And Victoria Station also remains closed. I'm Sammy Jolo.
At QuickFit, it's our mission to keep you safe and get you back on the road. That's why this spring we're offering epic deals on our premium tyres. Drop into one of our centres this month and get a massive 25% off all Pirelli tyres. QuickFit, it's all about the service. At participating centres only, offer excludes online, check in store for details.
Talk Radio.
We've got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So if you're just joining us this afternoon, normal programming suspended, of course, because we're bringing you continued coverage of the fallout from the terror attack in Manchester last night at that Ariana Grande concert. 59 people injured in 8 hospitals, 22 deaths confirmed. We know the names of 2 of the victims so far as well, both children, of course, because that's the point, isn't it? This is a targeting of children. We've been talking about it this afternoon, and that has upped the game in a way. The cynical, it's all very well targeting the home of parliamentary democracy by driving a car across a bridge at people, but I mean, you know, the deliberate targeting of children is kind of the opposite of that. And it makes you wonder You know, what the hell next? It also makes you wonder, how do I explain this to kids? I've got two children, they're 5 and 7. They will ask questions. They haven't yet. They didn't see the news this morning before school, but they'll have heard about it at school. And they will be filled with questions, inevitably. Dr. Pam Spurr is a psychologist on drpam.co.uk. Of course, she's on Talk Radio Saturday nights, 9 till 11. Hello, Dr. Pam.
Oh, good afternoon, John.
Thanks for joining us again. Now, it's a simple question, isn't it? I mean, how the hell do you go about explaining this kind of thing to young kids?
Well, the thing is, I know these conversations seem nerve-wracking for parents. Trust me, as a parent, I've had to face such, you know, challenging chats with my own children when they were younger. However, children want two things. They want your reassurance that you are there, you are strong, you are looking after them. And they also want to be listened to. So they want to know that they can tell you if they're frightened, if they're worried, if friends at school have been saying things that have really made them scared. So you just need to keep that communication open, and you need to reassure them. That's the starting point.
And it's a case of telling the truth as well, isn't it? It's you know, you don't want to give them the details in terms of anything that's going to give them nightmares, but you have to be honest with them about this.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. But you have to stick to age-appropriate information. So what you might tell your 7-year-old is completely different than what you might tell your 12- or 15-year-old. You'll have very different conversations with them. And you have to remember that, say, a 7-year-old cannot process the sort of detail that you might discuss with your teenager. You know, they may well catastrophize. It's been shown that young children who get too much information, who are exposed to too much, say, the TV's on, it's 24/7, people have it on the news channels, they have the radio on, they have talk radio on, and they get constant coverage. A 7-year-old finds that far more overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming for all of us, the way we get the 24/7 coverage. But particularly it's been shown that young minds feel just absolutely almost out of control with it. They can get very panicked.
And if though, the difficult questions that arise, okay, so let me give you an example. So, you know, I go home tonight and my daughter says, okay, Daddy, why did this man, and we're going to assume it's a man, why did this man target or go after children at a pop concert of, you know, someone that she'll like the music of? You know, and what do you say to that?
Well, if it's a young child, you can talk in very simple terms of bad people, that there are a few very bad people in this world who don't treat each other the way we treat each other and the way our friends and your schoolmates treat each other. These people are very bad and they are the exceptions. And so that way you start that conversation about this is the exception. And you answer that question, you say they're a bad person who wanted to hurt people, but they are very rare. And you know, you then say, and what else do you want to know? So then you ask them, you put it back to them again, because they want to feel listened to.
Marcus, her listener Marcus, has tweeted, and I think he's made a very good point here, because it's all we're approaching this from one side. We're sort of saying, okay, how do I explain the attacks on children to children? But the question when they say, why did the man blow himself up? Where do you go with that?
Well, again, you can say that you know, almost the same answer. You know, you're keeping it simple for young children. You're saying that people who have this much badness in them, and again, I'm using, you know, inappropriate grammar, but for what children understand, say people who feel this way, they don't care about others. They don't care about themselves. And that's why they've hurt people and they've taken their own life. And then you put it back to them and say, is there anything else you want to know? So again, they feel free to talk to you. And then at some point, John, it's really important to then transition into something much more positive. So you say something like, if I've answered your questions, why don't we start thinking about the summer, you know, fair that's coming up at school, and let's think about some nicer things right now. But I want to reassure you, you talk to me any time. So you don't keep dragging out the conversation. You give them that chance to talk. You tell them they can talk any time. And then at some point you refocus onto something more positive, because it's easy just to stay for parents. Yeah, as I say, they probably have the TV on in the background with, you know, 24-hour coverage going. They need to turn that off, and they need to also show their children that there are other things too in life that are very positive.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I think you're right. Whenever, you know, families have bad news and stuff and deaths in the family, that kind of thing. In my experience, actually, kids are completely resilient to this stuff as well and just sort of soak it up in far more than an adult possibly could. And in some ways, we dwell on it more than they ever would. I mean, you know, a quick example of, you know, an ill relative and you sort of go, OK, so relative A over here is poorly and might not make it, might not be alive, they may die, and we're just telling you that, and you know that's important. And then they sort of go, okay, fine, can you come and play aqua beads? And you go, oh, right, fine.
What you've just pointed out is particularly true of sort of the young teens and the older teens, who can switch much more easily compared to the young children. And as I say, if you might find your young child just wants a little bit of information and they're fine and they switch over. But, you know, a lot of the teens and the younger teens, you know, the 11s, 12s, et cetera, will be talking about these things with friends at school who might overhype things and make them paranoid to go to the shopping center with you this Saturday. Yeah. But at the same time, they kind of talk it out and they go on to the next conversation. So again, it's about judging what your child needs, and each of your children will be different and have different needs.
Okay, listen, Dr. Pam, thanks very much for joining us. We could talk more, but sadly, time is upon us. Dr. Pam Spur, of course, Saturday night, 9 till 11, here on Talk Radio. Now, it's 3:33. In the next half an hour of the programme, we're going to be talking to Caroline Frost. She's the Huffington Post entertainment editor. A little bit more about Sir Roger Moore, of course, who's sadly died at the age of 89. Next, I want to talk to the Archdeacon of Manchester, because I think it's interesting. We were talking about Manchester and the community earlier on, and it often when things like this happen, the church is at the centre of it. So it'd be interesting to get her perspective on what's happening in Manchester at the moment. Right, 25 minutes to 4 o'clock. Victoria's here. She's got the very latest news on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for last night's deadly suicide bombing in Manchester. Children are among the 22 people who were killed. Around 60 others were injured in the attack at an Ariana Grande pop concert. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has sent out a message of defiance.
In these circumstances, we have to come together. In these circumstances, a city and a community comes together in solidarity and in strength. So we carry on. We don't allow these attacks and these people to divide us or prevent us from leading the decent, normal lives that we all want to lead.
Security services believe they know the identity of the attacker of what is the worst terrorist incident in Britain since the 7/7 bombings. A 23-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the attack. Jonathan Russell is from the anti-extremism think tank Quilliam Global.
This isn't just trying to strategically take out one or two victims. This is to spark fear. And this fits in with a long jihadist strategy, which aims to spark chaos, to get states to overreact and to get societies to turn in on each other.
Scotland Yard says extra armed police officers will be deployed at Wembley for the FA Cup final, as well as at Twickenham for the Aviva Premiership final. Take That have cancelled their concert tonight in Liverpool as a mark of respect. Sam, the frontman of the rock band Twin Atlantic, has told Talk Radio it's difficult to know how artists should respond.
Is a bit of a sort of numbing experience right now, and maybe that is magnified because, you know, we've played that venue, it's so extra close to home. We're actually on tour right now and going ahead with our show tonight, because I mean it's kind of the only thing we can do to contribute is to kind of like keep our heads high.
And in other news, the former James Bond star Sir Roger Moore has died after a short battle with cancer. His family has confirmed his death in Switzerland this morning at the age of 89. The weather mostly dry tonight. Patchy rain for western Scotland, staying relatively mild with lows of 12 degrees. Tomorrow, any patchy rain in the far northwest will gradually ease through the day. Sunny spells elsewhere. Feeling warm again with highs of 22. There's more in just under half an hour.
There is indeed, as Victoria will be bringing you news on the half hour between now and 7 o'clock when she goes home for tea. Is that about fair?
That's fair.
All right. Thanks, Victoria. OK, right, in the next half an hour of the programme, we're going to be talking a little bit about Roger Moore. We're going to be talking, of course, about this terror attack and the unfolding events in Manchester. It's what we've been doing all afternoon, dropping normal programming to bring you coverage of that. We like to think from slightly different angles. Let's continue as we go along. I'm John Holmes. It's Talk Radio.
Talk Radio.
We got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio. John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
So among the many other things we've been talking about this afternoon, from, giving blood on occasions like this and how necessary that is, it turns out not so much because they've got stocks of the stuff and it only lasts 30 days on the shelf, which I didn't actually realise. So the message is to give blood if you want to on a continual, not a continual basis, that'd be ridiculous, you'd have no blood left, it'd all come out of your arm. But, you know, on a regular basis and rather than just when there is an emergency, because that's not when they need it the most. So we learned that this afternoon. We were talking, you just heard it in the news there, to Twin Atlantic as well, about this kind of thing from the musician's point of view. But we've talked a bit about community as well. Let's return to that as well. Archdeacon Karen Lund is on the phone. She's the Archdeacon of Manchester, no less. Hello, Karen.
Hello, John.
Thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you. What's the sense in Manchester this afternoon?
Well, I was in Manchester earlier this morning. I've been elsewhere this afternoon. But this morning, there was two sorts of spirits, really. There was a sense that people were trying to carry on as normal. There were individuals waiting to get the signal to get back into offices and buildings, although I know that hasn't happened. But equally, there was a great deal of fear and anxiety expressed, conversations with people in the town centre, but also with homeless individuals who were really feeling quite frightened about what had happened, naturally.
Yeah, and we were talking a lot about communities as well, and when Twin Atlantic were in earlier, who I'm sure you're a big fan of, Karen, frankly, the Scottish rock band. But they were saying something very interesting about community, and there is a gig-going community. Everyone who's been to a gig, and that probably is most people, feels a sense of connection with this, because, you know, no matter what gig you go to, there's that sense of you're going to enjoy one of the best things in life, music.
Yeah.
And you come together as people to do that, and that in a sense is that sense that is under attack, deliberately so, and especially when it's targeting kids who are just getting into that as well. And you know, I just wanted to get your take on that, really, and see what you made of that.
Yeah, it's really shocking. This was an event last night, as you say, for young people, and I just caught up on the news that a young 8-year-old has been one of the victims.
Yeah.
A little girl called Safi, and that's really shocking. And as you say, attack on an event, a social event, where people come together to enjoy themselves. But the spirit here in Manchester, as our bishop has already stated this morning, is that we're not going to be defeated, and we will continue to work together, continue to play together, continue to do all those things that we do in this community. We're going to carry on in the best way that we can. It's just going to continue for us.
Inevitably, people are and have been quick to blame religion, saying that's at the root of all this. What would you say to those people?
I'm not sure religion is the response to what has happened. This is an abuse of humanity. Human beings who perpetrate such things are abusers of humanity, and this is evil. This isn't, in my opinion, anything to do with religion. As a Christian, the Bible speaks about, Jesus speaks about love and forgiveness and peace. And in fact, this evening at 6 o'clock in the town square, leaders, faith leaders, are going to come together to pray. And I think that is a fantastic expression of how we are choosing to express our faith. And
so this is a multi-faith. This is a multi-faith
cause. It's an abuse of humanity.
So this is a multi-faith vigil, isn't it?
This is a vigil where all faith leaders are invited to come along. So that will include include all leaders across the Manchester city.
Yeah, and in terms of when something like this happens, and again, that brings us back finally to that point of community, doesn't it? Because when something like this happens, it that sense of people coming together, and especially you'll probably see it tonight in that town centre vigil,
yes.
Reaffirms your faith in humanity in a way.
Absolutely. It's at such times when people particularly show how they can be of mutual support. And so churches have been open, buildings, people have offered help and open doors to support those who last night in the turmoil of everything that was taking place and continuing today, which expresses the other side of our humanity, where we're able to work together in love and to encourage each other and to be united one with it, with each other.
So the message there really, I suppose, is, you know, because a lot of people aren't religious these days, and, you know, they turn to different ways of dealing with this. But I suppose the message really is you know, whatever helps you get through it, right?
Absolutely. And just to be there for each other. We'll recognise that there is great anxiety and fear, but together we can be courageous and support one another and continue to enjoy living in this city of Manchester.
Archdeacon Karen Lund there. Thank you very much indeed. She's the Archdeacon of Manchester. There is a multi-faith vigil in the town centre in Manchester this evening, which will be easy to find if you want to go along. Now, with the time coming up to 4:15, the other news, of course, this afternoon, the main news is that Sir Roger Moore has died, aged 89. He was, of course, the saint. He was James Bond. He was one of the persuaders. He wore a vermilion wetsuit in the film North Sea Hijack. Not a lot of people remember that, just me and Toby Earle earlier, apparently. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about him, as well as, I guess, finishing up on just the... I guess the entertainment side of last night's event. It was a gig. It was entertainment. That's what it was for. We're going to talk to Caroline Frost. She's the entertainment editor of the Huffington Post. She'll be joining us after the traffic and travel on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Listen. Do you hear that? That's the sound of nothing. Sounds nice, doesn't it? At Ford, we like the sweet sound of nothing, too. That's why we now have 0% APR representative across our Ford car range on 3-year Ford options. Visit your nearest participating Ford dealer today. Ford. Go further.
Retail only. Vehicles to be contracted from April the 1st to June the 30th, 2017 and registered between April the 1st and September the 30th, 2017. Finance subject to status. Guarantees may be required. Free post Ford credit. Exclude selected models. Please contact your Ford dealer for more information.
Mummy and Daddy got 2 free tickets to Legoland with the sun. When they collected 10 tokens inside the paper...
saving us up to £120.
Can I drive home, Dad?
That's 2 free tickets to the Legoland Windsor Resort when you collect 10 tokens inside the sun. Continues this week.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuelle received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so I wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
Hi, my suitcase hasn't arrived. I've been waiting ages.
Let's check the system. Was it a direct flight?
Connecting. I stopped in Bangkok.
And before that?
Well, the Maldives,
yes.
And Dubai, Barbados, okay. Koh Samui. Oh, and that amazing volcano in Bali.
Nicer problems to have. This Tuesday, there's a £99 million Euro Millions jackpot. And you can also win the best of Japan. And £1 million cash. Get your tickets for Tuesday's event. Euro Millions. Only from the National Lottery. Estimated jackpot. Game-specific rules available at nationallottery.co.uk. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
Have you noticed how words that describe big things are, well, big? The word colossal is pretty sizable. Humongous would win any game of Scrabble. Then there's the phrase, the original bundle from Sky. Loads of channels, big screen drama, and a 1 terabyte Sky Q box. The smallest thing about it is the price. Sky TV for £22 a month. Search Sky Bundles. Sky. Believe in better.
Direct debit subject status, £20 setup, Sky Q loaned at no cost, minimum contract and terms apply.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Well, in the West Midlands, we have one lane closed and heavy traffic due to a broken down vehicle on the M6 northbound between Junction 6 and Junction 7. In West Yorkshire, two lanes closed and very slow traffic due to an accident. That's on the M62 eastbound between Junction 25 and Junction 26. In Cheshire, we have one lane closed and very slow traffic due to a tyre on the road and a broken down vehicle. That's on the M56 heading eastbound before Junction 12. And in Manchester, a number of local roads do remain closed. That's following the events of last night. And Victoria Station also remains closed. I'm Sammy Jo Lowe.
At QuickFit, it's our mission to keep you safe and get you back on the road. That's why this spring we're offering epic deals on our premium tyres. Drop into one of our centres this month and get a massive 25% off all Pirelli tyres. QuickFit, it's all about the service. At participating centres only, offer excludes online, check in store for details.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
John Holmes on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right, Sam Delaney with you on Drive, bringing you continued coverage, of course, of the aftermath of the Manchester concert attack. The other news today, of course, is that of the death of Sir Roger Moore. He was certainly my James Bond, because that's the sort of generation that I was. Caroline Frost is the Huffington Post entertainment editor. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, John. How are you?
We're all right, thanks. Thanks for joining us. Early we were going to talk to you anyway. I know a little bit about Ariana Grande and the fallout of last night. We'll get onto that because I think that's interesting. But first of all, Sir Roger Moore then, which... did we know he was ill?
Yes, we knew that he was ailing with something, but he has been tucked away. This hasn't been sort of, he hasn't had a long illness, I mean, fortunately for him, but it does mean it's a sudden and sad shock today for his many, many fans.
Yeah, of which, of course, we're getting a lot of messages about him as well, of course, with people with different memories of him. Because it's weird about Roger Moore, isn't it? And we were talking to a TV critic about this earlier, because you suddenly go, oh, Roger Moore, well, James Bond, and then you go, oh, and The Saint, oh, and The Persuaders, oh, and that film, North Sea Hijack.
Yeah,
suddenly goes on and on and on.
Well, it's a 60-year acting career. And, I mean, he was always the first. One of his great charms was to be the first to pronounce on all his limitations. He didn't really rate himself as an actor. He said he was no great Olivier. But what he didn't have, perhaps, in those skills, he made up for in tireless and a bottomless amount of charm and good humour, which, as we know, will carry somebody very, very far.
Yeah, we were talking about The Cannonball Run, if you remember that film, with Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and Roger Moore sort of playing a sort of version of himself.
Well, I mean, he was ever thus. This is all Roger Moore did. I mean, I actually had the great privilege of interviewing him not so long ago, and he absolutely said that. He said, I mean, he said, I was cheap. I could fill a blazer. You know, he was 6'2". He was a beautiful young man who turned into a handsome epitome of an English gent. And I think audiences on both sides of the Atlantic just lapped it up. And I think, I mean, but we know that isn't enough. That twinkle in his eye, that look to camera, that sharing the joke, which is becoming an endangered species. I'm thinking, I mean, other actors have had it, in the Harrison Ford of the 1980s, Bruce Willis of Moonlighting era.
Yeah.
You know, we know that this is a great currency, and I would go so far as to say he was one of the great pioneers of that twinkle, of that thing. He absolutely bottled it.
And it was the right Bond after Connery's Intensity, wasn't it?
Exactly. I mean, obviously, all the purists come out. They want the physicality. They want the action man, secret agent. But he didn't try to compete with his predecessor. He brought a completely different bag of tricks. He brought, obviously, we have to mention the safari suit.
Yeah.
He brought the wit. He brought the eyebrow. He brought the bonhomie. He brought the, let's not take this too seriously. We know we're all making an action film. And I think it did come for many, including, it sounds as though you, like me, he was my Bond. It was a breath of fresh air after what had gone before. And then we obviously had later on, we've got the Daniel Craigs and we've got the Pierce Brosnan to a lesser extent imitating the sort of action man before. So his era is now pretty distinct and unique, and I hope will be revisited.
Well, yeah, we can hope. Listen, it's a crunching gear change, I realise, Caroline, but I think it's worth talking about the events last night, because as soon as it had happened, Ariana Grande herself was sort of tweeting about it because it's her gig. And we had the band Twin Atlantic in earlier. in the studio, and they were talking about it from a musician's point of view, because a lot of bands are pulling gigs and cancelling gigs, but they're saying the show must go on. And I just wanted to get your take on how this might affect the entertainment music industry, because it's going to be the case, isn't it, that parents aren't going to necessarily let their kids go to these gigs anymore and be buying them tickets, because everyone's going to be a bit scared.
It is a horrible and horrifying dilemma, I think, for every parent whose child is of teenage years. I mean, we were going to those gigs. Remember how exciting it is to go to those first gigs when you're just discovering music. And this is why this is so horrendous. I mean, all terrorist attacks are tragic, but this is particularly morbid and dark for me, because it cuts at the heart of this bunch of very innocent, excited people having a big night out. I mean, absolutely horrendous. And it does present a dilemma for, as we say, it's becoming summer festival season. And so many gigs are already on the itinerary. I think summertime, you know, the Radio 1 festivals are having to think about how they walk that tightrope between ensuring everyone's safety, but making sure that the terrorists don't win, that we don't all just buckle down and never leave our houses again and start and continue to have fun and enjoy our culture.
And do you think it will have an impact on these big artists who, I mean, let's be honest, you know, they are targeting that age group. That is their core fan base. It's going to have an effect on their world tours in that sense, isn't it? They're going to have to rethink the whole thing.
Isn't it? I mean, Ariana Grande has today immediately cancelled subsequent dates.
Yep.
We've seen that Take That, a combination probably of security concerns, I would think, but also respect to what's happened. They've cancelled their Liverpool gig. I think it is bound to just because of the state the world is in. And as we know, I mean, terrorism is about striking at people's culture. We saw this in Paris. This is our Paris. And people are having to just have a big rethink, because it is, you've got to look after your families, haven't you? I mean, as much as we want to enjoy music and evenings out, you're going to spend half the evening quaking in fear and not actually listening to the music. There's no point doing that. So, but it's a damn shame.
All right. Listen, Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. That's all that is. That's Caroline Frost. She's the entertainment editor of Huffington Post. You're listening to Talk Radio in the afternoon. Sam Delaney's got Drive. He's here now very quickly to tell us what he's got coming up in it, and I can take a wild guess.
Yeah, obviously we will be covering all of the latest, reflecting on the events of last night and bringing all of the latest news as we get it in the aftermath of the tragic attack in Manchester. And of course, as I'm sure you've been doing, we will find a small amount of time to touch upon the life and times of the great Roger Moore, my personal favourite James Bond, and we'll be looking back on all of his achievements too.
Well, it's been quite the show today for obvious reasons. We suspended what we do normally to bring you coverage of that terror attack. Indeed, thank you for listening and staying with us. We hope we brought you a slightly different take on a lot of the angles of the story. Our thoughts from everyone on this show, of course, with the families, as you'd expect, relatives and friends of those affected by the tragic events of last night in the whole of the Manchester community. Don't forget, there's that multi-faith vigil in the town centre of Manchester tonight. We also broke the sad news. We were just talking to Caroline there about Sir Roger Moore. So we're going to leave you with the fact that nobody does it better.
So does England. The lady will have a Bacardi on the rocks.
For the gentleman, vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Touché.
You left this with Ferrara, I believe.
Why, I think you're wonderful, BB, but I don't think your Uncle Harry would approve.
Him? He thinks I'm still a virgin.
You do know what the Queen of Cups means in an upside-down position? A deceitful, perverse woman, a liar, a cheat, and I'd like some answers now.
Please, you don't understand, sir. They'll kill me if I do.
And I'll kill you if you don't.
play it again, Sam.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.